Blog Talk Radio.
Show, and how are you guys doing? We're sitting here on Thursday night, so I was there checking out the chat room, sorry. And welcome, everyone. If you want to get a reading, please call in and get a reading. All you got to do is call 646-721-9031. And if you want to get a private reading, or maybe you have a topic that you don't want to talk about in the air, give us a call. It's 740-500-8863. Our April special right now is the ideal 3 90-minute sessions for only $100 or 5 30-minute sessions for only $100. The ideal manifestation, which I think we'll be talking about tonight a lot about, how do you manifest the ideal attracting things to you on a daily basis and trying to cover all those things. But a lot of things we can't really cover on the show on the ideal what you need to learn completely, but we'll try to cover as much as we can. But that's what the 30-minute, the 90-minute sessions are for, and the 30-minute sessions are for relationship counseling, life coaching, manifestation, meditations, focusing, the ideal variations, because you should actually have a little bit about the ideal. When you're meditating, switch it around a little bit. I've actually taken certain meditations and add music to them. There was one, the ideal chakra clearing meditations I got from Doreen Virtue, who played a certain kind of music to it. And then I got Hemisync CDs and combined it with her meditations for chakra clearing and got some really good results, because the Hemisync CDs actually have helped me have more focus in the ideal of being more in-depth in the process of clearing my chakras and finding out things I didn't realize were still hanging out within the chakras themselves. So try that one out. And if you're a person who would like to sit there and check it out on these sessions, you can go to my website, www.psychicxjourneyman.com. That again is www.psychicxjourneyman.com. See all of our sessions, any kind of thing. I always tell people, don't let the prices freak you out. Because if you're on this show right now and you're hearing all the things, you're entitled to discounts. So you'll see that the 90-minute sessions are actually $135 a piece. So the idea of getting three of those 90-minute sessions for $100, you'll see it's a fantastic deal. Also, the same thing with the 5 30-minute sessions, too, as well. Some people have a different way of learning things, and sometimes they would like to have this 5-minute session so they could take it 30 minutes at a time. Other people like to jump right into things, so that's why we have the 30-minute, the 90-minute sessions, where you can get three of those. But we also like to do the work, too, as well, so we've grouped them together and make it a whole lot easier for you. So if you want to give me a call for a private reading, give me a call at 740-500-8863. Take advantage of the April special, and then go to my website. We also have all kinds of services we offer too as well. I think we also have a 1 minute, it's a 1-card angel reading where you can actually take 1 card and do a 30-minute reading for you. So if you want to check that out, just go out there, go to the website, www.psychicxjourneyman.com. That's psychic, capital X, journeyman.com. If you didn't catch it the first time, good thing about these shows are being recorded, so you can go back in the archives and check it out. Okay, go back in those archives and get all the information you can. If you miss it, you didn't miss it. It's still waiting there for you to come back and go over it again so you can actually utilize it and change your life. Okay? So let's just look at the situation right now with the private readings. Private readings can be anything from relationships, counseling, insights on certain situations you already know about. Maybe you already have insights yourself. Looking for confirmation, that kind of stuff. They all look for everything. So life coaching, relationship counseling, even for people who think, okay, I'm not in a relationship, why would I need to utilize relationship counseling? It's the idea of getting the information you need. So as you go into a relationship, you have all the tools you need to make it successful, to see it for what it is, maybe even the ideal of seeing the truth, to walk away and realize what you need to, instead of attaching yourself to the situation. Like Dr. Wayne Dyer always says, keep your mind open to everything and attached to nothing, and you'll see why that actually works in your favor, because it actually gives the space, and also the person you're with, it gives, you're actually basically saying, I have faith in this person, and since you attracted this person in your life, you're also saying, I have faith in myself. A lot of guys do this. They're dumbasses. They're sitting there and go, I've got to keep my options open, not realizing all that really shows me is how much lack of faith they have in themselves. They're not, you know, not to see the thing is. Or the other side, they're just asses, you know, looking for more. So, you know, there's such situations of realizing how those things also have a tendency to work against you in the ideal. You think you're having fun. You don't realize how much baggage you're accumulating in the process of going down that route too as well. So keep that in mind. So if you want to give me a call for a private reading, please do so. 740-500-8863. Or go to my website at www.psychicxjourneyman.com. Or we also have another option where you can actually come, if you are planning a vacation here in Manitou Springs or just in Colorado and you want to come visit Manitou Springs, Colorado, or you live in the area, come visit us. Get a reading in person. There's nothing like the experience and that kind of stuff as well. I think it's one reason we do the show, to give people more trust in the idea of what we do so they can actually feel free and feel like they're making a good decision to come to us in the process of helping us help them in the idea of making their life a better life, okay? So if you want to come to the shop here in Manitou Springs, Colorado, on the main stretch, we're at 946 and a half Manitou Avenue. Okay, that's right across from Mushroom Mondays, between Santa Fe and the Flying Eagle T-shirt shop. So again, that address is 946 and a half Manitou Avenue in Manitou Springs, Colorado. So if you're listening and you, like I said before, if you're planning a vacation, if you come to Colorado and you feel like you need to drop by, we are there. Usually the hours are between 12 and 6, but with summer coming in and warmer weather, we have a tendency to stick around longer, maybe even be there earlier. But if I'm not there by noon, I'm a one-man operation right now, so therefore I'm probably at the bank or taking care of situations or even the idea of changing things within the shop itself, and I got to do it all by myself. So just have a little patience with that whole thing. I guarantee you I'll be there. So if you're not, there's a phone number on the door, so give me a call, or you can actually write the number now, and you'll have it, so it doesn't matter how you do it, so it'll be good. All right, let's see what we got going on here. Okay, I also have my co-host with me, Heather. Heather, are you there? And she's not there.
I am here. Oh. I just had my phone on mute. And I got a little lost in my phone, so.
Oh, my goodness. The addiction takes over.
Always.
So how are you?
I'm snuggly yet again. It's a lovely rainy day, but, you know,
Is it actually raining out there, or did it bigger than mine?
It was rainy. It wasn't, like, downpour or anything, but the ground was wet.
Oh, I understand that point of view. I'm just, I was at my shop today, and it was, like, sunny, rainy, sunny, rainy. I was like, can you make your mind up? I'm getting a yo-yo effect here. I'm getting, like, a yo-yo syndrome.
You're in Colorado.
I know, but they can at least knock it down, you know, like 20 minutes, sit every 10 minutes.
You know, it used to be, I remember being in the Springs, and in the afternoon, there would be like a 20-minute rainstorm come up over the peak and into town. And I just loved that, because it was like, it would just cool it down. I don't know, it's pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
I like this.
Cool the jet.
I know, don't make fun of me.
No problem. Who's making fun of you? That's like, we look at it, oh, that's right, I do it all the time. Anyway.
Yes, you do.
You know, if I'm not mistaken, there was a topic that you actually wanted to cross on and top on.
Mm-hmm.
Mary Magdalene. And because I remember we did have a person that called in one night and said she was looking for a little more information on the whole thing. So I just figured we'd do a show since it gets recorded. So therefore, if that person ever comes back on the show, or if they're here now, they'll have this opportunity to go back and learn more about it. So I always try to look at the situations. Even if you haven't fully learned, you know, looked at the book and that kind of stuff, it's kind of amazing when you do a show how actually teaching to others, you can get more out of the book too as well.
Right. Like a what is that called? We're a book club.
Yeah.
Sorry, that wasn't
actually,
a very
I was
hard
reading
concept.
A thing about memory too. Did you know that? I was
what?
Reading a thing about memory. I have a book on how to improve your memory, and it talks about the ideal teaching others, of course. But it also says that we learn quicker and we absorb more when we are taught to, when we listen, you know, like CDs, listening to books and that kind of stuff. People have a tendency to actually remember those because it goes right into your, it's like we're using CDs. Those MP3 downloads, those meditations and stuff are so good because it's like one of those things going right into your, I think it's going right into your subconscious, so therefore if there's anything negative in there, so that's how so easy to counteract it. I thought it was kind of interesting.
Yes. I'm sorry.
I had to get
some ice cream.
It actually says, too, as well, that when, as we get older, it's actually easier to remember, not the other way around. It's one of those things we've been taught differently because of people. Doctors have a really bad habit of looking at situations of things they experience instead of actually looking deeper into the situation, what caused the outcome. They're so used to going by the book, but they don't have a tendency to look deeper into the situation of seeing maybe a person has a memory problem because they have a problem with actually putting things to memory. Or maybe they just have a chemical imbalance. Because there was one lady talking about the idea about all those titles we have for all those ailments of memory and learning and that kind of stuff. And I told her, I said, once you forget those things, because all they are is basically imbalances, and the imbalances cause some kind of physical abnormality. Once we actually solve the imbalance within ourselves, we usually see the physical ailments go away. No medication, huh?
I'm working on absorbing everything you're saying. My ADD is kicking in.
Oh, my gosh. We're trying to get away from titles, and she brings one in. Okay.
I know. Sorry, I thought that was funny. I do have the Magdalene manuscript sitting here in front of me.
Mm-hmm.
And it's actually titled The Magdalene Manuscript, The Alchemies of Horus and the Sex Magic of Isis. And it's by Tom Kenyon and Judy Sion.
Well, I remember them. I had coffee with him last week.
Anyway. Thank you now.
Yes.
Well, I would love
if you
to
want
their
to,
brain.
Let me ask you a question. Do you want to take a call first before we go into this, or what?
Sure.
It's either yes or no.
Yes, yes, yes. I'll play the role
right,
of you first.
Okay. Let me get him. get him composure here, okay?
I'll try.
I'm going to go to the first caller. It's 805. You are on the air. Welcome to the show, and how are you?
Oh, pretty good. How are you? My name's Donna.
Donna.
Hi. Hello.
Hi, Donna.
Hi. I wanted to ask you, do you see me traveling this summer? Like maybe going to Boston or to visit an old friend?
Well,
an elderly friend, or to Canada, Ottawa, Canada, or you see me staying here where I'm at? Or...
Actually, my first impression was yes. To the one
yes.
About you said you were going to Boston, right?
Yeah. To visit a friend, yeah. You know, if he invites me to go there, I will, you know, to stay a couple days.
I get the impression it will happen.
Oh, good. Okay. Also, my friend passed away is about 7 years ago, and her husband's name is Al. And when she passed away, he asked me out on a date, but I don't know, I just wasn't ready to date him, you know, because it just happened with her death and all. And then I saw him about 2 years ago. Do you see us? I am attracted to him, but do you see us getting together at some point? His name's
Really
Al.
Do you really want to?
I don't know. You know, I'm attracted to him, but I don't know.
Would it be one of the situations you'd have trouble with? You said so what you're saying, his wife passed away, which was your friend.
Yeah.
Okay. I was just asking because I was like, can you really deal with actually being with him without the situation of bringing up old memories concerning her?
Yeah, and then she said some things, too, about him. And, you know, I don't know if it's true or not true. And, you know, when she was sick, that he wasn't that compassionate. So I don't know if that's such a good trait. But I'm sure he has wonderful traits besides that. Or maybe that was just her impression and maybe it wasn't so. You know what I mean?
You have to look at the situation of her perception, too, as well. That she perceived that when people were a certain way, is that she wanted more compassion. Instead of taking into consideration, she knew who he was. She's always known who he was. And it was certain things that she didn't feel like he was giving enough of. But he can only be who he is, and he can only give us what he has. And that's why I think she kind of expected a little too much for someone to be something he wasn't because of who she is. That makes sense?
Yeah. Exactly. And her vulnerability and insecurity of being sick,
Yeah, the idea of perception is a lot of things because, you know, something, you can only perceive things when you go through them. She's never died. Well, you know, the idea of dying and stuff, it's always I can put it like this. It doesn't matter how many times you die, it's always different. Some things happen quickly and some things don't. With her situation, I think she got a chance to observe too much of things that she always found irritating about him in the first place, and the idea of being sick just kind of brought him to the surface, where she wished she would change because she needed a lot more compassion. But I think it was more like it's a reflection of her. Okay, she says he's not compassionate enough. When she should be more compassionate about a person, and she never took in consideration because of what she was going through, to realize what he was going through too as well.
Yeah, and I saw him with his grandfather, and, you know, he let the grandfather live with him, and he wheeled him around everywhere in his wheelchair, and, you know, so he's done some nice things, you know?
Mm-hmm.
For his grandfather, so maybe I'll just see him and see what happens, you know?
Mm-hmm. That's what I always tell people in the ideal situation. What do you want to do? Not what you're attracted to, but what you really want to do with the situation. Because attractions could be simply just that. Our society right now is putting so much emphasis on the attraction, they don't realize it's just a physical thing. At the same time, I want to find my twin flame or my soulmate, which is spiritual. They're two different things. And if you try to put them together, that's where you get the confusion.
Because
you're like, well, you're supposed to act a certain way and do a certain thing when you're... No, you are. To put those kind of expectations on somebody else and say, well, they should be doing these things, I dare you. Well, I mean, what gives you the right to say that they should do whatever? I mean, both your jobs, realistically, is to learn from the reflections you give each other, not to sit here and tell each other what to do.
Oh, no. Yeah. That's true. I like to be a free spirit myself. Pretty much do what I want. Yeah, that's why it's good to get to know somebody. I mean, it's so much projection in the beginning. How can you know somebody without knowing them, without asking questions and observing, and, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I think the chemistry is nice and all, but the chemistry doesn't tell you anything really about the person.
Yeah, but one thing will tell you everything is the connection, the bond. It's like a phone line, but you have to listen to yourself first. So you can know everything about a person. I'll give you an example. How do I know that? Because I do it all the time. I mean, I can't see the idea of being psychic. You know everybody. Just because they don't want to act like who they are, that's beside the point. That's the idea. I do know who you are. Like the other day, 2 days ago, a lady called me up and wanted me to come down to the shop and do a reading for her. As soon as I get my shop open, so I'll see you in 20 minutes. I go down there. I walk into the restaurant. And as soon as I walk in the restaurant, I get my tea because it was kind of cold. She looked right at me. I looked right at her. There was an instant connection right there. Now, we look at the situation, the connection. Was it the idea of a romantic connection? No, it was just the idea. I knew who she was. I knew she was the one that called me without even knowing who she was. And what's so funny about it, she did too. And as soon as I got back to my shop, she came walking up with her boyfriend, and I looked her in her face, and I said, "So you're the one that called me for a reading, huh?" She goes, "Yeah." I said, "Wow, you're pretty intuitive yourself, aren't you?" And she goes, "Yes, I am." I said, "You knew me, but you've never seen me before, but you knew who I was." So the idea we do know these things, and the idea of getting to know each other, come to the realization first you already had a connection, makes it a whole lot easier to open up to get to know each other. So I agree with you on some parts, and the other parts, I tell people I'm not disagreeing with you, I'm just saying I've dealt with things in a different way of seeing people and knowing people. And sometimes it does have a tendency to, as some people put it, work against me because I know everybody. I know everybody. You have to learn how to deal with that kind of stuff in the first place on a grander scale because it can be overwhelming. But it still works. And you know who to deal with, who not to deal with, who to walk away from. Go ahead.
I was out with my friend and she was telling me her truth. And I didn't necessarily find that to be my truth. Mm-hmm. So it was a bit annoying because her truth was the ultimate truth. And I disagreed. So then I started challenging her upon her truth. And then it kind of became different. But then I decided, this isn't worth it. This isn't worth it because this is tiring me out trying to challenge her. You know, just to find my own, you know, to have my own truth. So, oh my gosh, it's too much. Very stressful.
Well, the idea of the situation we create, you know, like seriously, if we create our own lives, and we create our own reality with our own. You know, when you do the whole thing, you do see it. You do have a different. I always teach people everything about everything and anything, okay? But they still have to find their own way to let that information resonate with them, and even test their own perceptions, but the point is they're making their own decisions and opening up those and changing the perceptions and that kind of stuff. So when a person says, "I know every little freaking thing that's going on right at this moment," and that's up, and then doesn't allow herself to have that, you know, that little piece that says your perception may change too, then I walk away from her because she's stuck in a time zone. She probably still stuck in the 70s. Because I sit here and look at the situation too, but I know for a fact that certain things that I used to have in my perception of how I looked at things, have been challenged and have changed. So I open my mind up and see the whole thing. Like I always say, like I said before when we were talking about Dr. Wayne Dreyer, when he sat there and said, you know, keep your mind open to everything and attached to nothing, which means, you know, allow yourself to realize that change is not something that should be feared, but to look at it as something that with every change, there's your new life, which is what we're all looking for to change anyway. And we know it's going to change our lives, so it's going to be new.
Whether we like it or not, it's going to change. It's going to change. I mean, it doesn't stay the same, that's for sure. I mean, maybe, you know, when you say
life
change. Yeah, and it does change. Yeah, we get older, we don't stay the same age. I mean, you know. But if somebody's in a rut and they want to change, then, you know, there has to be some type of action. Maybe step by step there has to be an action.
That's true, too. You know, everything that happens, there has to be thought. Even the universe itself was created, and they've also, scientists have realized one thing, that when you focus on energy, your thoughts change it into something. And it's usually what you're thinking about. So, therefore, the universe itself was created by a being interjecting thought into it, which created this whole thing. Which also should give us a little insights too, that we have a little more power than we give ourselves credit for.
The world
does not change because it just changes. It's the idea of thoughts that's put into the situation, intentions and that kind of stuff. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So you're constantly manifesting all the time. That's just what the universe is. That's what we tell people. You can change your thinking, you better. So what you're thinking right now...
I've changed my thinking. I've changed it. Now what I do is I try not to criticize myself or anything else. You know, it's not that easy. It's not that easy not to criticize. I mean, even if I'm walking down the beach, I could criticize that person. But I'm trying not to, and I think that by not criticizing, it's nicer. It's more love in my life. It's more, I don't know, it's a gentleness. It's nice.
I'm just saying, I say whatever you want to say and do what you want to do in the situation, because it's how that voice inside ourselves either accepts it or denies it that actually affects us. That's the person themselves. They're just saying what they want to say. That's why I always tell people to take that little voice inside of you and really work with it. It's your subconscious mind, your ego center going. It's like the ego center telling you something in a negative way, but there's always another voice that some people call the devil and the angel, but I look at it as something that when something happens, there's always something as in our angel saying, hey, this is what you should do because this is going to improve your life. And then there's the ego who comes in and goes, remember what happened last time? That's the ego. Okay, so if you tone down the ego, because I don't think you should get, right? It's like one of the situations, you put it to the side and say, okay, let's focus on a positive thought. But the ego is something we just can't get rid of. It's the idea of putting it in its proper, put it in its place and say, okay, this way works, ego. When I make a decision, it's your job to motivate me to follow through with it, not to tell me and doubt myself. So the voice inside me, you know, so I have the affirmation that says that too. I have a perfect body, and my body works for me every time and every way. At the same time, I talk about the inner voice and saying, you know, the inner voice is realistically me, and I'm going to sit there and look at the situation. Am I going to feed into the ego? I'm going to listen to my angels. Because I know for a fact the very first thing that comes through is guidance. It always comes first. It's always that ego that comes in afterwards. And that's the little voice we're talking about.
No, the ego's not good. I just got done reading The Course in Miracles, and I think I'm going to do the workshop on it because it just makes so much sense to get rid of the ego and look at things without guilt. You know, without sin, that people are not sinners. And it's a nice way of looking at things because you're looking more onto this is all an illusion here. You're looking more onto the eternity of things. You know, it's nice. It's a forgiveness. To forgive is amazing what happens when you forgive. You forgive your past. You forgive your parents or whomever did harm to you. To forgive, I mean, that's gone. That's in the past. You know what I mean? So to forgive, it's such a nice gift to yourself to forgive. I mean, oh, my gosh. I mean, yeah, wonderful.
I'm just saying with the situation, you can't get rid of the reason I say you can't get rid of the ego because it's part of the physical part.
No, you
it's
can't.
It's the idea of having balance between your physical and your spiritual to get those things going so they work together, like balance. We're looking for balance. You can't have balance by getting rid of one. Then you create another imbalance. And spirit, because people say, can you be too spiritual? Well, in the process of being on this planet, people have a tendency to be too spiritual, have a tendency not to feed themselves, literally. So, you know, when you sit and look at this situation, balance has it come in the situation when we sit and go, oh, we're too bored. So it's the ideal balance between the two. That's why people talk about bipolar. Stop going to your doubt there. Stop taking the medication and realize the bipolar means there's an imbalance between the two. Bipolar means there's two. It's like the idea of a unicorn. A unicorn is actually a horn that's two horns together in unison. And the idea of creating a really positive energy, where they say that the horn itself is a very magical healing thing. But when you look at let's look at healing itself. You want to manifest a good healing? You got to have balance within yourself. The idea of channeling the energy spiritually through your human body. If your human body is not up to par and kind of thing, it can be disastrous in some ways of causing certain things within yourself because you're not taking care of your body. And then you take care of your body, then you also have a freaking imbalance within spirit. Because this is like a vessel that, like the chakras and the aura, these are energy centers which actually balances energy through your body. But the body has to be on the same level as well. It has to be in shape. Even the Qi Ideal, just fasting and cleansing all the toxins out of it. I'm not saying you got to become a bodybuilder. I'm just saying the idea of taking an average 20-minute walk or some kind of, you know, something that...
Yeah,
just go to the gym and do a 20-minute workout. They actually say going to the gym and extending energy can also balance out your chakras because there's a pushing thing where you inhale, and as you push out, like a meditation, you always inhale, and then as you exhale, you're always letting go of everything that you need to let go of. Well, in the process of working out, you could actually put the two together, and as you're doing, like, say you're doing a simple bench press, as you blow out, you can picture yourself, like Superman, getting rid of everything you need to get rid of in a negative way by pushing it away as you exhale. And you actually get balance within your life or in your body too as well. It's kind of funny how things can be so simple.
Yeah.
But.
And difficult. And difficult. We take that on ourselves, though, the difficult, you know?
Well, they always say stress is self-inflicted.
Oh, it's awful. Yeah. Stress
Success is man-made in some sense, but so is stress. So it's the idea which one you're going to focus on. Because if you focus entirely on success, you always find the solution. If you focus on stress, all you can see is all the things that are wrong. That's what stress is. You're focusing on the wrong side of the situation. And you should be looking at the ideal and saying, okay, let's take it one step further and do something different. Let's take that energy that we call stress, channel into the other, and I guarantee you when you do that, you'll be more successful, but you also see yourself as a three-dimensional being. Instead of one-dimensional, where I can only have one or the other, realizing, no, you're... I guess it's the idea of looking at the used to sit here and talk about angels, like Archangel Michael, Archangel Raphael, have a tendency to, they can help many people because they can actually be in many places at the same time, which we have a tough time really comprehending. But when you start to look at the situation, if we could tap into the same dimensions, we'd also realize how many choices we have compared to how many places they can be. So therefore, whichever choice we make could actually have a happy outcome if we look at the situation in a positive way.
Yeah, that's true.
So, it's almost like we're destined to succeed. It's our human body and perception that says otherwise. And when we change those, then we start seeing all the possibilities instead of the limitations. I was sitting there looking at a situation, too, just like that one the other day, where it was like you have a tendency to look at the human self or the ideal, like the economy. See, if people don't realize the economy is based on perceptions. And right now, most people's perceptions go sticking as government. Did I say hello? Anyway, sitting there telling us about lack of limitation. You can't do anything unless you, and whatever you fill it blank in, not realizing you can do anything you want. And that's the idea of meditation and spiritual work, is to show you that there is no limitations. The only limitations you have is the ones you impose upon yourself. So when you start realizing what you're doing to yourself, you make a decision that you're not going to do it anymore. We call that compromise. And then manifest anything you want. To sit there and say you can't manifest anything you want, look at the perceptions out there. A person is very dramatic, has a tendency to attract a dramatic person. So therefore, it proves right there that you can manifest anything you want, good or bad. It's up to you on what you're actually going to manifest to you and attract to you. So make your decision. When you compromise and you feed into drama, you keep attracting the same thing over again, and you get caught in the situation, and you get very exhausted. But if you look at people who focus on the ideal positive and really focusing on what they want, need, and desire, you will see a person that might be in a situation where they're constantly working all the time, maybe even be a little tired, but they love what they do, and they always seem to find the energy to keep going. Even if it's just the idea of seeing somebody else in the same situation that they were in and giving them help, because now they're in a position in their life, okay, that they've probably never been before, and they keep pushing themselves to be better and more because of what they can actually do for society as well. So the more prosperous you are, the more you can give back. The more you give back, the more it gives back, and so on and so on. So, it's, once you get to, that's what I'm saying, when you put yourself in a situation of negativity, it's the same thing, just in a negative way. You keep attracting negative stuff, negative people, being negative yourself, and you also create a vicious circle. But you can also change that circle and change those people and situations that you're attracting by changing yourself. And it all can be so simple if we just sit here and look at the situation and go, okay, you really want to attract more of this stuff? And some people are kind of like, would rather do that because it seems to be more easier for them because it's what they're used to. It does challenge your perceptions. There's people out there talking about this, that, and the other, always trying to keep things in a worldly way. And I think that's just ways of keeping us in a worldly way, too. They don't realize that has nothing to do with being grounded. Grounded is the ideal of planting yourself like a tree. Okay, if you look at a tree, simple tree, a tree continues. And some trees continue on forever. If you look at the situation of the redwood trees, the way they actually have a tendency to do a lot of things themselves, you look at the situation, they're in a happy place. They all work as a unison. They realize, in some sense of the word, like I always tell them, hug a tree, do a visualization, watch yourself being grounded. Root yourself into the ground, like root yourself to the ground. As I'm rooting myself into the ground, I also have a tendency to take those roots and connect it to everyone on the planet. Because in order to be successful, and the idea of giving your service, you also want it to be accepted as much as you want to be accepted. But there's no physical thing to do except to ground yourself and be who you are. And people will accept you for who you are easily because you're being truthful to yourself and you're communicating with yourself. And they also have a tendency to be the same way, where they want to be you. Because everybody's playing a game in some sense of the word. And when they see somebody being totally honest with themselves, they have a tendency to gravitate to that person. That's what we call life purpose, giving the service to the world. And whatever you choose to do it, do whatever that service is, as long as it's one of those situations that contributes to the people as much as it contributes to yourself, you just created a very positive cycle that will continue for the rest of your life as long as you keep your mind and being honest and truthful with yourself. And when you do that, people don't realize the situation of like attracting people to steal your car and all this kind of stuff. They have a tough time going, I'm not attracting that. That was just a bad person. When we've actually had stories of people who said flat out, if they would have made a different decision, it wouldn't have happened to them. So listen to guidance. Listen to your angels. Listen to everything else because they're all out to it. They're there for your benefit.
Oh, yeah. And I hear them. Like, I heard my mother and father, and they said something to me. They're both on the other side. And I didn't do what they said. And if I had listened to what they were trying to tell me, things would have worked out better. Oh, yeah. I can't believe it. I mean, well, why did I sabotage myself, you know, when I heard, you know, but I'm just beginning to hear them. So now I know, you know, that they're there to
we have to
guide me in the right direction.
That's true, too. But when we get ourselves in situations like that, we also need to change our perception. The more, because people, I've seen this before, like, for example, people who hit the lottery. So you get all that freaking money, but the one thing they didn't realize is the money's not changing their lives. It's what they're going to do with it. Okay, if they can't get past their perceptions of saying, okay, they've been in a situation where they've always wanted, needed, and desired, okay, and they've always compromised. So what they're going to do is they're going to sit there and try to get everything they've ever felt like they ever compromised in the ideal of, as some people call it, missed opportunities. They don't realize the truth is they haven't missed anything. They basically created their lives, and they did the whole thing up to this point. Now they've attracted the money. What they need to do is attract a nice financial advisor to change that perception to help them realize that they can buy things. When, you know, because I've seen people do this where they'll sit here and think, you know, I want to buy 5 or 6 houses. They don't realize a lot of people who've actually come into with their careers, they don't realize that those houses and stuff that they have now also came in through a progression. So they bought a house. They looked at certain things. They changed their perceptions. They opened their minds, okay? In the process of doing that, they acquired more opportunities to reach their goals. In the process of reaching those goals, they changed their perceptions of their worth, what they felt like they were worth. So they, and then when they changed that and felt like, okay, I'm priceless, they started attracting more and more and more. So then they had houses on, you know, but some people look at those things and go, why do you have all these houses? Well, sometimes you don't realize what that person's going through in the process of acquiring all those things because that's what their life was all about. They took advantage of the opportunities and just made different decisions than you did. But in the same sense of the word, if you can see those people standing in front of you, they're also telling you, now you can do that. Don't focus on the idea of what you think you've missed out on, missed opportunities. It's the idea of showing you that you can still create your life. People talk about age. Age has nothing to do with nothing. The sooner you forget about age, the sooner you're going to stop aging because it's all perception.
Mm-hmm.
There's no such thing, because people have studied the body time and time and time again. There's no reason why the body should age. So it shows you how our perception can change things. And we know this for a fact. We've actually seen research done on people by giving somebody a sugar pill who can heal themselves to realize our perceptions either can work for us or work against us in the idea of manifestation. So if you focus on nothing but positive and you know exactly what you want, need, desire, and you make a promise to yourself, never compromise, I guarantee you will have those things. But also, don't get caught up in, like most people do, in the idea of saying, okay, well, the world says I should have 5 cars. I should have 5 houses. That's what wealth is. You know what wealth is? Wealth is the idea of the information and the knowledge you acquired to make different changes in your life. That's what wealth is. Those things you see there is materialistic overload. Okay, so when you sit in a little bit of the situation, you need to reevaluate what you want, need, desire, compare what the world's going to tell you you want, need, desire. Because what the world's going to do is, if you feed into that whole thing, you're going to have a hard time manifesting it. And usually when you manifest things, they have a tendency to put more shackles on your freaking ass, which means the idea of the world itself, in a materialistic sense and that kind of thing, is detailed to make you a prisoner. That's what it's designed. Because when Adam and Eve ate of the apple, that's what God was trying to save them from. Of all the things they were going to impose on themselves as what we call shackles.
Who was it? Warren,
like,
Warren Buffett,
mm-hmm.
Huh? Oh, Warren Buffett, I think. Go on. Say what you're going to say.
No, it's just the ideal. Looking at the apple as a materialistic thing, that he was saying that you don't want that because once you do that, you're never going to be satisfied. So if you start focusing on the spiritual side of the situation, I'm looking at what does the spirit need? The spirit needs nothing to be loved. When you are loved unconditionally, you have a tendency to have people and all the things you ever need to do to live here. They'll automatically come to you. So go ahead.
Who is it? Warren Buffett, he has like millions and more than millions, billions, and he still lives in the same house that he bought for like $150,000 with his family because he did that on purpose. So that he knows that what's
purpose.
Important to him is his family.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, not the material. I mean, when you leave this earth, it's not the things you think about. When you're on your dying bed, you're probably going to think about the people in your life.
Yeah, we've never seen anybody put on their tombstone. I wish I would have worked more.
No.
I wish I would have spent more time with my family, is what they're going to say. So right now, I'm focusing on everything being paid up. If you want to look at that kind of a way, and looking at the situation of what I can do, what I can't do, it's the idea of never having time to do anything for the people around me that I really care about. Now I've worked so hard and say what's really important. Got things all organized. And now it seems like continuing giving service, money keeps coming too. Make a declaration. I'm going to have money every freaking day. How much money do you want every day? $800 would be good. Thank you. Then forget it. That's how manifestation works. It's the idea of setting your intentions to God and saying, here's, you know, let's work together. I always say God, angels, have a slew of them. God, angels, archangels, ascended masters, guardian angels, guides, higher self, Holy Spirit, Jesus. Thank you for your help, protection, and guidance, and the idea of motivating me and working with me, and the idea of manifesting these things into reality so I can actually be living these things now. And it seems like once you put those things out there of some kind of intention, then your day has a tendency to start off in a good way. If you just walk out the door going, I don't know what's going to happen. Well, I want you to declare it before you leave the freaking house and say, you know something? I want the door to open nicely. You know, you might find out the one day that it always opens up in a squeaky way or getting stuck on the floor. all of a sudden, one day, just with a simple intention like that, change something on a simple level. But it also shows you the power that you can also manifest those things on a grander scale, because there's no difference. There's no difference between manifesting a car than shoes. There's not. It's the same energy and the same things. We were going to talk the other day about the gifts that were given to Jesus. You don't hear it really, realistically, and I've never heard in the churches that I've gone to, we'll say it that way. What are those gifts? What do they mean? What do they represent? Okay, Jesus got some great gifts. Frankincense was one of them. But they don't really explain what those mean. And if I'm not mistaken, I think I read some things about alchemy and the Philosopher's Stone, which is the ideal techniques and a stone that you can create a stone that can actually take and they say manifest. Alchemy is to basically change certain metals into gold. But actually, if you trace it down to a simpler way of looking at it, it gives you it actually is a stone that you can tap into the power within yourself to where you can create anything you want. Do you ever remember, what was that guy's name? Everything he touched turned to gold. Our society has a tendency to take things like those kind of things, instead of telling you the truth, the real story about what's behind that whole thing, they try to make it out of a thing that's bad for you. You know, always think of the bad thing. You don't want everything to turn to gold, and that's what it was. What it was saying was, in the process of touching things and turning them into gold, is also a metaphor, and it says we're turning things into what we want, and the idea of achieving our goals. But in the time that when we realize how much power we got in ourselves, each goal that we achieve, we also have a stronger self-worth, which means we're tapping into more of our power. And realizing we've always been able to do all these things. It was the world that kind of tarnished it where we thought we couldn't do those things. So every time, because I was sitting on The Secret, it talks about go out and do something that's so out there that when it happened, it would change your perception to the point of saying, I can't do it, to how can I make this happen? What do I have to do? What's the procedure? What's the process? Because I know if I find those things, I can tap into my own self and the idea of making these things a reality.
Yeah, the self-talk is important, definitely. And, to be aware of what you're saying during your day, too, because, the negative talk is not good. If you have a lot of positive talk but I don't necessarily think that your life gives that goals give you self-esteem. I think what gives you the self-esteem is an acceptance of
well,
yourself.
How about that? Yeah.
You know what I mean? A love and acceptance of yourself.
Well, that's true too.
You know, a lot of the Japanese is.
No, I was just gonna say when you accomplish a goal, that's like touching something and says fortune is on your side. So you can actually turn every situation into a gold, which means you accomplish your goal. What's the outcome of the situation? Not the idea of turning everything into gold, but it's the idea of realizing that, for example, the people talk about certain people that just have that special touch, that everything they touch is a success.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I agree. There are people like that.
But in the true form of sense of spirituality, what we're trying to teach everybody is that the person you see doing those things is also reflecting back at you that you can do the same. Because people cross your path for a reason, to remind you to wake up. What is your self-worth right now? I've done this before with people and say, hey, how much do you think you're worth? And the first thing that comes out of their mouth is a worldly freaking answer. Well, you know, about $16 an hour. That's what the world's going to give you. It's hard to teach people to sit there and say, well, how much do you think you're worth? There is no limitation. One person said, the sky is the limit. I said, no, the sky's not the limit. The sky realistically is a void. It goes on forever. So therefore, your potential is unlimited to wherever. You know, where does the universe actually end? No one knows. So therefore, in the process of your own life, use the universe as an example of unlimited possibilities and keep going and watch strange, wonderful things start happening in your life. You're attracting things and going, I was just thinking about that the other day, and now here it is. Or I was thinking about having a great romantic partner, and all of a sudden you wake up one day and realize there's a person next to you that fits the exact details and description of the person you're talking about, even the relationship itself. That's how manifestation happens. You don't notice it as you're going into it. Most of the times you don't notice it until you're already living it. You see how it works? The anticipation, mm-hmm. all that stuff like that, going, oh, I love this. once you do accomplish those kind of things, you start thinking about, what can I do next? And that's the key.
I'm like that with winning things. Like I started off winning like a truck tandem bike, and then I won a big TV, and I kept going and going, and then I won a BMW, and now I'm going for the big one. I really am, and I'm going to get it too.
What's that?
Because I know how to. The lotto.
Oh, the
lotto. Powerball. I'm even going for the Powerball now. I think I can do it. I really do.
I have the confidence
of doing it before on all the other things that I've won.
Mm-hmm. Well, try this.
No?
Okay, in the process of the situation, right, go down and sit here and make a list of all the things you want to get. If you won the lottery, make a list of all the things you could get if you won the lottery, right? So then the technique goes like this. Now you're going to take that list you just created, because these are the things you would get and do and all that kind of stuff if you won the lottery. Now your job is try to make those things happen without winning the lottery, which actually will help you win the lottery, because you're actually letting down the resistance for each person. And each situation that you accomplish without the lottery brings you closer to actually attracting the right situations to win the lottery. So when you win the money, you already have everything you wanted. Now you got to expand your perception on, okay, since I already got everything before the lottery, I got the lottery now. Let your mind be open to the impossibilities of what you could turn into a possibility. I mean, go extreme. I mean, it's like the one technique I saw in the Esther Hicks book was the idea of taking a situation like this. Get you a checkbook and in the front of the book, they got the book where you deposit money. What you're going to do is, a technique, how it starts off is you'll deposit $1,000 in the bank. Now, you're not depositing money in the bank. What your job is every day you're going to deposit $1,000. So on the first day, you deposit $1,000. Now, your job is to sit there and try to use and expand your mind on how you could actually spend $1,000 in one day. Okay, the next day, you'll put $2,000 in the bank. Then the next day, you put $3,000. What your job is to you open your perception of your mind and say, okay, keep expanding it and keep expanding it. As you're expanding your mind, you're also expanding your perception, and you're also expanding your worth and how you feel. When you start feeling really good about yourself, you're also expanding on your vibration, okay? And that's what this technique's for, to open up your perception, because we've all been taught to compromise. You know, to sit here and go, okay, I can't have this, so what would be the best alternative? What this teaches you to do is the idea of going out there and really focusing on what you really want, need, and desire. Because you already made a promise to yourself, you're not going to compromise no more. Because realistically, in the Bible, it says be abundant and prosperous. It doesn't say sacrifice and suffer. I don't see that. I've read it.
No.
Okay. So if you look at that situation, and it even says one part of the Bible, you have not because you ask not. So therefore, why are we not asking for the things we really want? Why are we compromising? Because probably some jackass a long time ago told you that you have to, that you're unworthy, you're totally separate from God, and the whole bit. They don't realize in the process of those freaking those scriptures are also saying the reason we are those people that are separated from God and that we are not worthy is because we've put ourselves there. Okay, we put ourselves there with the decisions we made to try to eat that freaking apple. Okay, well, the reason of eating the apple was the idea of feeding into more of a worldly way. What's the idea of creating this outer body? Look at the situation when Adam was created as a spiritual being. When he ate the freaking apple, then we had to deal with duality, which is the idea of spirit and physical, which created the physical body, which the physical body craves. And it's a continuous thing that, you know, like there's demons will do that to you. And certain entities that will sit there and tell you that you need these things because they feed off that energy. So you can see how important it is, the idea of focusing on spirit, which is pure love. I mean, I do. How much power you have? I have a lot of people come to me. I have demons who keep bugging me. Well, tell your ex-wife to leave you alone. Anyway, it's the ideal of sinner telling them that you have the power, dominion. Even the Bible shows that Jesus just basically said, by what he said out of his mouth, of a commandment, and meant every word he said. He also had not just power and control over, you know, simple things, but also demons and stuff like that too. And they know that. And that's what they try to feed off, that fear. One person told me the ideal man who has no fear is a dangerous man. Yeah, you know why? Because he puts your perception up there to be challenged, to realize this person is doing exactly what he wants to do with his life. He fears nothing. The reason he fears nothing, because God doesn't fear anything. So therefore, he focuses on the ideal, the situation. He don't care what people think. He doesn't care what people want from him, that kind of situation. Because
he doesn't need validation. He doesn't need validation from others, because he gets his validation from God and himself.
And he does the same thing God does. He gives. No questions.
Yeah.
No triplicate on pieces of paper and that kind of stuff, releases and titles and that kind of stuff. He just gives. But he also teaches you how to do the same as well. Look at the guy. Jesus, like, focus on God. God said, focus on the kingdom of God. If you look at the situation of focusing on being totally positive, of using those concepts to help you in the process of focusing on nothing but positive, realize the benefits of it, that's what it means, to focus on the kingdom of God, being Christ-like. Being Christ-like is the ideal.
When people are out in nature, I think they feel that. When people are in nature, they feel that, I think. They commune with that.
Yeah, it's the energy of truth. Because like you are, let's look at God. You're made in the image of God. God is supposed to be energy. That's purely pure love, pure essence, pure everything. So you look at the situation, God can't stand to be around sin. If you look at us when we're around certain situations and that kind of stuff, neither can we. The only reason we put up with that kind of freaking, one reason we put up with it because of the human body. Once you could get past the whole point of realizing, it's like, if you listen to your human body, it's like going outside and asking your freaking Mustang and saying, hey, you know something? Should I go out? Should I do this? Do you know what you're going to hear? Unless you're crazy. Nothing. You need to listen to yourself. Then, as we look at the freaking body, we look at it as a transportational device to take the soul from A to B. That's the same thing with your car. Okay, once you sit there and make the decisions and follow through with exactly what you want to do, the car just makes it easier to get there. And we need to do the same thing with our freaking bodies. It's amazing how we will focus and do all this freaking stuff for our cars and treat them like gods. Why can't we do the same for ourselves? I think there was a part of the Bible that says that Jesus says you are gods. And you will do greater works than I did.
We're made of God. I mean, God loves us because he's loving himself with us.
Yeah.
Because we are, you know, really, yeah. I mean, there's the substance of God in everybody, in absolutely every person.
The situation that God is not within you is the reason you can't, and then you have to take out the factor that it says God made us in his image. So the citron say the soul is not pure essence from the from God is the idea of denouncing yourself and also lying to yourself, because the point is, it says he made us in our image. So the idea that we created the human body, he created the soul. That's why we have a tendency to gravitate to more spirituality, because that's the true essence of who we are. The human body was something we created to also felt like the duality thing. Spirit says there is no limitation. Oh, I got to eat this freaking apple so I can actually have duality, so I can sit there and challenge myself all the freaking time. I said, that's just not true. I need choices. I have limitations, but that's the human body. And when you put yourself back in the driver's seat as a spirit inside that body, instead of saying you're a body with a spirit, and say you're a spirit with a body, and then you can sit there and look at the situation and realizing, look at these dumbass guys out there. They worship their cars. And look at their lives. They got
we are not our body.
Yeah, they teach
a lot of that in the Course of Miracles. We are not our body, no.
No.
And that's
so
why
you have to look at
amongst people. Yeah.
And you got to look at the situation, the reality. We created these bodies because these bodies keep reproducing themselves on a smaller level. And but when you look at, I've even seen people do the spiritual thing with having birth, and it seems like it's painless. that they go through these things very quickly. But when you focus on the body and the pain and that kind of stuff, that's what we call healing. If you don't focus on an ailment and give it more power, it has a tendency to go away.
Mm-hmm.
Because the spirit healed it.
Yeah.
When we heal other people, that energy we're giving them to heal themselves and the idea of healing and helping and assisting them to heal, it's all energy. It's all spirit. It's not the body. The body's just a transfer. It's a conduit. You know, let me sap you.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Well, I want to give Heather a chance to talk about Mary Magdalene and her scripts and stuff.
Oh, so, great. Very nice.
So go ahead, talking to you.
Thank you.
Good.
I talk. Good night.
Oh, you're welcome. You too. Make sure you go check in with us from time to time.
I will.
You have a good
night. I will, for sure. Thanks. You too.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Let's see. We go back and we go, okay, Heather, you're on.
Thank you.
Hey, you're welcome. I'm sorry, but I'm tired, okay?
It's okay. I totally get that. I was apparently brushing up on some geography. I don't know. I got caught up in a little map. It was a lot of fun. Anyways, I
you
was
never listened
looking.
To a word I said, did you? Meaning?
Yes. Yeah. Yes. I listen subconsciously.
Okay, I'll give you that one. That's good. That's a good answer.
Thank you. Well, you know, me and my little ADD here, I just can't sit still, so I have to do something while I'm listening. And then I don't know.
We need to teach you how to heal yourself so that won't be an interference. There you go.
I would love that. I just posted something on my Facebook today about men, if you want to understand a woman, open up 2,715 tabs on your computer, and then you can understand what a woman goes through. And I was like, oh, my gosh, that is totally me. And yeah, I have a lot of comments on there now. Yes, that is better.
Well, that's good. On a psychic level, I can do that. I think it has a tendency to freak women out. That I can actually know everything they're doing. But they shouldn't look at it as a threat. They should look at it as, you're looking for somebody as an equal. Shouldn't they be able to do that?
No.
Well, too bad.
No, there are places that you should go
when
a woman's fine.
I'm just saying, I believe in win-win situations, and I believe that I will get exactly what I want, and it does exist. So I only need one. I don't need a group of them.
Well, I certainly
hope
not.
No, I don't. I don't need a harem. I think people in the Middle East who have a harem thing is the idea of maybe we should give them credit to deal with 10 women at the same time. But
kidding.
But when you look at the situation, are they really? They're rich. I'm pretty sure that here's some money, go away. Okay, I'm good.
It's a totally different mindset. It's not about sharing a life with someone. It's more accomplishing certain things, and a woman is more of a piece of property than she is a partner. So.
Like the one guy collects like 10 or 15 cars. And those guys have a tendency to collect 10 or 15 women. And if someone tries to take that woman, they treat it the same way.
I've tried to wrap my brain around polygamy, and I just, I just can't. And I know that there are some religions that do practice and have practiced polygamy coming from a space of love for each person involved. But still, I just can't fathom it. Anyways, on to different subjects. Okay, I really don't know. This book is so deep. It's so deep. I really don't know. But, you know, the author is right here in Boulder. And I'm...
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, anyways, there's ways to get a hold of him. So
I'm just saying, you know, like, I would look at the book of what you would think that people really need to hear. And I think that she was really detailed to women and the ideal of the sexual act itself and what it was really portraying. And the definition of the whole thing, that I think some women have actually lost that perception of thinking that, you know, use it as power. they don't realize it is power, but it's also the ideal that you were talking about before about sharing their life with somebody else. It's
right.
also the
it's
idea of certain things you share. You don't use it as a weapon and say, okay, I don't feel like it, because most women who say that are using it because they feel like they feel threatened in some sense worse, so they use certain techniques. I think the book that you're talking about, I think I read it briefly, was talking about certain things that women need to understand, the appreciation of a man, and also has a tendency to reflect back as appreciation for her as well. It's,
right.
it's like it continues a positive cycle.
Well,
circle, it's, you know?
It's basically talking about sex being being a tool, definitely, but from a spiritual aspect, you're using your physical bodies to achieve something spiritual and energetic. And there's so many things you can create. Oh, talk about manifestation. Your energy.
It actually says that two people come together in the idea of combining that sexual energy, which is actually really love. You can actually manifest things at will. Like, you know, like we always say, find the right person, you can make your dreams come true. Well, this is actually proof that you can.
Right, right. And, well, it's the highest form of, it's the most intense form of energy because, you know, in the, especially when done with love, in love, in that, gosh, like all my words are gone. I'm so lost in this thought and this idea. That most intense, beautiful love, are you giggling at me?
No, well, it's kind of, but I know how you are and the idea how you get caught up in subjects and stuff like that. But I also know how passionate you get about certain things, too, as well. So that's what I'm giggling about. It's kind of funny. But at the same time, it's fascinating to see somebody who could have that much energy and put that much emphasis in things that she has a tough time to expressing people, but you will find a way, and you always do.
I do. I just have to, you know, it's like selling chocolate at pasties. I get a little worked up about it.
Oh, yeah?
I do. Yeah. I've been told
yeah,
I sound like I'm in love.
Eat chocolate. Yeah. The energy with her and chocolate would make you go, I got to go home and find my wife. Anyway.
Yes. Oh, dear. Okay, anyway, so I'm glad I just finished my chocolate ice cream. Anyway.
I don't think we could have handled that energy on the air. I don't think we could have handled that. But yeah, it's going to need to finish that.
I had my phone on mute, so.
There you go.
Anyway, I guess I have a really hard time understanding how people don't have that kind of passion in everything. Is it just me? I don't know. I get excited about everything, but then again, I'm a hopeless romantic. I'm Leo. What do you expect? It's almost a curse. But
right.
In the midst of this connection between a man and a woman is truly in love, and she's embraced by a man who is truly in love with her, she feels that she can truly open up, and they are both able to achieve the ka state of being, which is the highest form of energy in this third dimension. It's really hard for me to explain, which is why the book is so ideal, because the book explains it. Anyways.
Yes.
So that's touching back on the polygamy and the little harems and whatnot. I don't know how they could ever achieve something like this, because I suppose it's possible to love 10 women at once. I don't know.
Mm-hmm. I think it's one of the situations of people of how their insecurities can actually manifest into something that could get out of control. I'm trying to find a woman. Well, I can't find a woman what I really want. This one here is close enough, and I'll just keep going and keep acquiring wives until I find that one woman, which happens to really set off a chain reaction. When he does find that woman, then the other ones get discarded like property.
can't. It's just really hard for me to understand. I think my little eyes are. Well, my little eyes are sleepy. I was going to read the back of this book, but to hopefully attempt to explain this better. I've only truly experienced it one time, unintentionally. I didn't intend to create that moment, but it was created, and it was beautiful and almost unexplainable, like above, outside the body. And it's created almost an unbreakable bond or connection, which is very interesting to me.
So, I bet.
Yeah. And there was another time that I attempted it, but, yeah, very, very different. Anyways, I don't really want to talk about
it. I could have been the situation why it didn't happen, too, was the idea of trying to create something that should have happened spontaneously.
Exactly.
This is what happened the first time.
Well, and there was a reason why it wasn't meant to happen in that moment. So, back to all things happen for a reason.
It's always one of those things. Everything happens for a reason. You start seeing people for who they are and why you can't have that experience. It's because you really, realistically, in that situation, you definitely have to be on the same page.
Exactly.
If you want, we can get in the caller while you get yourself together, all that kind of thing.
I don't know if I'm going to be able to get myself together. I don't know. It's one of those days.
Okay, we can take another call if you like.
That's fine.
Okay. I guess that helps out a little bit, huh?
Yeah, all right. Yes.
Okay, no problem. Let's go to area code 202. Welcome to the show, and how are you, and what's your name? He must have fell asleep. Area code 202, welcome to the show. How are you? You're on the air. 202.
Are you singing now?
Well, why not, you know? Make it all entertaining as much as we can. 202.
I know.
You're on the air? And we've had this before where we're sitting here going over subjects and that kind of stuff, and we go and get someone, we pick someone, we bring them on the show, and all we hear is snoring. I was like,
you know, I was afraid of doing that myself.
Well, let's put them back on. Yeah, maybe they don't want to come on. I don't know. But let's go to another caller real quick and go to, it's BNNABODHI. Hello. How are you? Welcome to the show. No, really.
Sounds like we did find someone asleep.
Yes, but it's one of the things that I'm also psychic and says, "Get, come on, let's get with it."
Oh man.
Uh-huh.
Oh God.
So, how are you?
Yeah, I'm good. Listening
That's
to
good.
You guys, me. Laugh here. It's funny.
I do have a tendency to get disappointed with some people who have actually left. But go ahead, I'm sorry.
What was the title of the book that you're talking about? There's a book and everything that you're discussing, and you're not giving the title.
Oh, it's the Magdalene Manuscript, The Alchemies of Horus and the Sex Magic of Isis, and the author is Tom Kenyon and Judy Sion.
What? Tom Kenyon?
Uh-huh.
Okay, I'm going to check it out. If I can find it.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, and my little eyes are just a tad sleepy. I believe it's spelled K-E-N-Y-O-N.
Oh. Wait, what was the title again?
The title is The Magdalene, as in Mary Magdalene, Manuscript.
Let me see. The Magdalene Manuscript, The Alchemies of Horus and the Sex Magic of Isis. Whoa.
Uh-huh. Yes.
Yeah. he's me. There's a reason why Mary of Magdalene came into the picture.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
You know what I heard the other day that was so fascinating? You know the book, Think and Grow Rich?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Like, I heard someone saying that the book doesn't contain all the information, that that there's some information missing, like some pieces, some vital pieces of the book have been excluded because some of the authorities that did have this information didn't want this to be out there in the world to the common people.
Oh, that would not surprise me one bit.
Someone said this is, do you think, I believe this person because he does classes and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it's possible to keep a whole lot of information that was once readily available down or have secret anymore.
Well, not anymore, but it's not in the book. The book only writes the same thing over and over again, but I don't know. I'm just like everybody else trying to find out the real deal so we can get this, so that we can move forward in our lives. Now it's taking forever.
Mm-hmm.
Because as children, we were not taught things, and we missed a lot of information, and we were coded the wrong way. You know, we were coded like a twisted and turned. That's how we turned out to be, and twisted and turned doesn't create a smooth journey. And, you know, of course we like to be challenged, but we also like to...
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you actually... You've read The Secret or watched The Secret?
Well, a long time ago. I don't really care about The Secret. I've already known that those books were out there forever. It's not just The Secret.
Mm-hmm.
It's for the common people. With Oprah Winfrey helping everybody a little bit.
The concept of the law of attraction is what is so huge, and the manifesting of things. And so I think that whatever it is, I do have Think and Grow Rich in my little library. And whatever was kept secret or pulled out of that book, I really don't think it's relevant, hon, because with the law of attraction and the ability to manifest, there are concepts and ideas that are almost a moot point. We can create the home that we want, the life that we want. We can manifest the cars. It's just a matter of really delving into that. And that's
the secret.
That's nice.
That's the idea of doing a show, too. When we do the show, we're sitting there talking about the situations of realizing that certain information has been left out.
Yeah, and certain information in the Bible.
Mhm.
But what is that information, and where can we find it? And I guess through our guides, but we're not even told a lot of information through our guides. It's only what's here and now. It's kind of hard. But still, we're part of God, so it's okay. We're not lost. Nothing is taken from us.
You know, there's a lot of information in the Bible that is twisted and turned, and it's been manipulated and changed. And I truly believe that sticking with your guides and hearing what where they're directing you, that's the most important thing, because you have your truth, and living here in the now and accomplishing your mission and your purpose and learning your lessons is what it's about right now.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I'm saying already. And I'm saying that that the information, more will be revealed, and that's the interesting thing about being in this time. So I don't really have a question. I mean, unless you want to say something.
Well, situations like this. I've read all the books and that kind of stuff like that and realized one thing. There's just places to start to get the motivation to go and find the rest of the situation, which has to do with more faith in yourself. See, the Christians talk about one thing. They're always trying to convince you, and I'll sit here and say the Christians I've talked to, so we'll clarify that one. But when you sort of look at the situation, right, we can say the Bible's manipulated, we can say all kinds of stuff. But you know something? You're right. The more we listen to our guides, the more we can actually decipher through the Bible and get the message. Because realistically, the ones that jump at us in the Bible are, because it's a spiritual context. And
yeah,
when people start focusing on it,
and
I'm just saying, when people start focusing on it in a materialistic way, that's why they can't interpret it. They can't see the truth within the context itself. But it's there. But it's the idea. You have to be true to yourself in order to find the true information within that Bible and situations, that kind of stuff, too, to actually improve on your life. All I can really tell you is the ideal of things I've changed myself and the ideal of changing perception and the ideal of looking at things as I go through them, as observing, you know, try to be more of an observer of your own actions and look at the situations on the things you have manifested and how'd you do it.
Right.
So if these people do take out information and they don't give us all the freaking context, they can't keep us from us because it's within us. That's what your guides are trying to point to in the situation of focusing on self, which they have a tendency to tell you not to. Because they know once you tap into yourself and who you really are and the situation of the sense of the power that you contain within yourself because of your spirit, they cannot do anything to you. And believe me, sweetie, I sit and talk to people all the time of all the things I've accomplished. I've actually got my license when they told me I couldn't get my license. I walk into motor vehicles, the idea of power of thought, and say, no, this is what I'm going to do. I walk in and say, when I walk in here, I'm walking out my license. And then I would sit here and feel it, see myself walking out the door with those licenses in my hand, but also sit here focusing on the power of our emotions and what they're meant to do, not work against us, but work for us, that we can actually use those same emotions to have that anticipation and feel that, what it would feel like to be within that situation when it happens, which means when we start focusing, we're also raising our vibration to actually be in the same alignment with the thing we're actually trying to attract. But we can also do it so very quickly. The techniques and all the things that we do, the meditations and kind of stuff, are teaching us how we actually take those to improve on ourselves so we don't have to sit here and fall into a long meditation, the idea of manifesting something, that we can actually tap into ourselves so intensely that when we sit here and say it, to realize, it even says in the Bible, that, you know, that evil, what is it, good and evil is in the power of the tongue. So whatever you speak, you will attract. It even says that in the Bible. So when you sort of look at the situation of the power of the tongue, it's very powerful, and the idea of those thoughts. So whatever you think, you're going to manifest. Now, these people out here are scared to death you're going to find it. We should look at the situation and go, they must really believe in it. They also must believe in God and the whole realm of things. No matter what their actions say, within themselves, they believe this stuff is powerful. Or they wouldn't sit there and try to do those kind of things. But they also know for a fact that once you start tapping into yourself too as well, you found the secret.
True.
The secret was pointing out one thing in the book that people missed. Like one part where it talks about relationships. You cannot attract a good relationship into your life until you believe in yourself. Then you'll find someone else who also believes in themselves, come together and believe together. In the process of having that strong belief, you will have a situation where you can attract and manifest your dreams into reality. But you have to know what those are. And I always emphasize on that too, because people are so, well, the world says, I don't give a shit what the world says. The world is one of those things that tries to put you in a situation of always slavery. They believe in slavery to the point they've actually enslaved certain races and that kind of stuff because of their own lack of belief within themselves what they actually could accomplish. So they had someone do it for them. At the same time, they want to keep secrets from you because they know for a fact that if they did do them, they could do it. And they did. And they did a lot of things in situations of being millionaires. But they didn't realize in the process of actually attracting and having slaves, they were just not tapping into parts of themselves. They were allowing these people to do it for them, not realizing that's how the world works. What you put out there, you will get back. But it will also come back to you through people, situations, and opportunities. And as long as you keep those in that context of realizing that those people came into your life in the process of attaining your goals, and then look at what you just did for yourself, okay? But the people come in your life too as well. But it could have never happened if you didn't have a love for the human race. We're actually getting a lot of callers popping in real quick on that one.
What?
You went too fast on that last one.
I'm just saying we just gotta. No, what I was saying was we didn't.
What about like trust? What about trust in yourself?
Yeah, you have to trust yourself, and you can't trust anybody. And if you trust yourself unconditionally, it's what we're saying is people are not gonna. There's going to be people that are actually going to try to use you and do all kinds of stuff because of their own lack of belief in themselves. So therefore, when you believe in yourself, you trust everybody. When you trust everybody, you also see who you can and cannot trust. But see, if you don't trust yourself, first and foremost, you're not listening to your abilities and your intuition and your angels. Okay.
Can
so
you tell
you trust
me something? I just met this girl, and we couldn't get it together, and we took a distance. And then we met up, and it was beautiful. It was a heart-to-heart, like a thing. It was open. And, you know, I wanted to see her again, and it seemed like she wanted to see me again. And then she texted me back. She's like, I'll give you some dates next week to let you know when we can meet again. And I haven't heard from her this week at all. And so I'm wondering, like, then she sends me, like, this event that she has on Facebook that she's inviting me to, but it's like a social, like her, she created it and she needs people to attend the event. So I'm thinking, like, is this girl like
crazy?
Is she like has a hidden agenda? Like, what is her deal and how does she see me?
Well, the idea of having this group thing that she's putting together just so she can have people around her so she can actually experience you but feel safe about it.
Experience me, but in a
just the idea of socializing with you, okay? We'll put it that way. I'm just saying, do you feel like she's creating this group? She's inviting you? Because it does seem like she's kind of scared with people on a personal level. So she has a tendency to attract a lot of situations where there's more than just one person in groups, so she can actually get to know somebody on a safer way. That's a lot of the insecurity she needs to face, but that's what I'm saying. It is kind of unusual for people to connect with you and that kind of stuff, and then they want to interact with you in a group.
I feel like it's been very difficult to find. Lately, I've been meeting these women with, like, open hearts, and then, like, it's wonderful, it's laughter, and it's lots of fun, and then all of a sudden they're too busy, like, this and that and that and this, and they certainly are busy, but I'm busy too, you know, but I don't treat people like that. I still keep the flow
busy,
open.
No,
but
see, busy is an excuse. An excuse is something people create in the process of creating a block between them and where they really want to be at. So you definitely get a sense where they want to be there. But you also have to look at the people you're talking about. I mean, if you're being your complete self on who you really are and have no problem expressing that and communicating that kind of stuff, what you're actually running into is people that are not comfortable with themselves.
Yeah.
So to see somebody who is comfortable with themselves reminds them of those things, so they have a tendency to distance themselves from the situation and then create these group situations where they can interact with you. Because they don't feel so vulnerable.
That's so funny. You know what? I don't need that. I don't want that in my life. I mean, I don't mind group situations, but it's a little bit... I can't even go there. I have, like, my own agenda. Like, I have to go to places. So it's not like it's wonderful to have these people, but it's also wonderful not to have them. But it's just so, so sad because, you know, I think in my lifetime, I remember having one girlfriend. She was in first grade and she fully accepted me as I was. I could cry. She just made me feel good all the time. And I was okay. You know, she just was okay with me. And I think that's the kind of friendship that fits me best, you know? And it's just sad when these women can open up their hearts for a moment and then have to shut it off again, you know? So I'm sad over it, you know. I am sad over it. It's not easy to have the openness and then for them to shut off or you know.
Well, no, I understand that point of view. I just want to sit here and say something really quickly. I was going to sit here and tell everybody you're listening to the situation, we're doing readings and stuff. If you're in the queue, we will get to you, so just be patient, that kind of thing. Which I tell some people before that, because people have a tendency to jump out of here and go, okay, I didn't get my question answered, and that kind of stuff. When actually you also should be sitting back and listening to this stuff. There's a lot of information coming through, a lot of facts and that kind of stuff, so you could actually change your life just by listening. So if you don't get on the show, you're in the queue for a reason. Everything happens for a reason. Everything crosses your path, every person, situation, information, that kind of stuff, what's actually there for you. So therefore, take that in consideration, too. So don't jump out of the queue because you didn't get on the show. You have to look at the situation probably at that moment. A little self-centeredness going on there, isn't there? So the idea of kind of having those kind of infractions, you should relax and say, hey, you know something? I've had people come on the show so many times. Just to wait an hour and a half to sit there and say thank you.
Well, we'll be on tomorrow night, and the night after that, and the night after that, and the night after that. So there's
that's
more
all
time.
I was going to say. We're on Wednesdays, Thursdays, Fridays, Saturdays, and Sundays at 8 p.m. Mountain Time, the whole thing. So we're all usually on for 2 hours. We usually go over, as Heather keeps reminding me. but it's a big deal, right? But I was going to also remind people, if you want to sit here and take it one step further and get the information and actually get a private reading, we got some great specials going on this month. And if you want to sit here and do that, then just give us a call at 740-500-8863. If I said it too fast, then start listening to the archives, okay? But I can repeat it one more time for you, which will be 740-500-8863. Or contact me through my website at www.psychicxjourneyman.com, which will give you a perfect opportunity to actually look at the situation like this. You can see all of our services right there and everything like that. We also tell people don't freak out about the prices. You know, if you have a certain thing, a certain budget, we understand those things. Just contact us. 740-500-8863. I guarantee we can sit down with you and work with your budget and the sessions you're wanting. Don't be hesitating in the idea of the situation. We always sit here and say with manifestation itself, you can manifest anything you want. So therefore, readings and that kind of stuff is probably the first step of actually trusting yourself and see what you can do, okay? So just contact us. So it's prices. They're just places to start. They're not written in stone. They are written on the freaking website, I'm just saying.
That's not stone, though. I'm sorry, I thought that was funny.
It was. I was just
dead
a friend of mine.
Silence.
Well, it was a person who contacted me through Skype, and she's having some situations and stuff, and I wish I could actually tell her that more than likely the two people that she has in her life right now, she needs to let go.
Are you multitasking?
It just happened. Well, I just saw this. You know how Skype is. It lights up.
I know.
Like
no, I don't
light.
Know how Skype is because I don't Skype. But
okay, no problem. I'm just saying with the situation. It's like some people don't realize the ideal things you need to really clear from your lives and certain things will stop happening. Because I have friends of mine who keep talking about their spirits. And I have a friend of mine who lives in Tennessee. And she hears and sees spirits. And I keep telling her she needs to set boundaries for people that are in her life. And then spirits would also honor those lines that she's put down to as well. I don't know, sometimes it just drives me crazy with freaking relationships because I was sitting there going over the whole thing. And in The Secret, it does cover and shows you that when for relationships, it's the same energy, the same intentions, and the same things are going on. You know, people have a tendency to put too much emphasis on the situation and say, well, I don't want to interfere with someone's free will. If you're putting intentions out, the universe is bringing you together. So therefore, it's meant to happen. If it was never meant to happen, then it wouldn't happen. It would, the universe and your angels will come back and say, you need to regroup on that whole situation because he's not the guy. Especially if you listen to your angels and guides and you're doing this kind of stuff. The people who usually don't listen to their guides and angels have a tendency to go, I'm going to manifest this thing, what they can do. They're using a different kind of energy. It's a worldly kind of energy in the situation. Spiritual energy is continuous and unlimited. When you tap into the body's like a car. Okay, when that battery dies, the car dies. The same thing with you. If you don't sit there and you look at the situation, what you're doing, when you feel exhausted after doing certain things. Because realistically, when I'm going to focus on manifestation on a spiritual level, I just don't have that kind of loss of energy. I actually had a friend of mine who was doing Reiki energy. She was doing Reiki and that kind of stuff. So she had left her lights on in the parking lot. So she was sitting there thinking, and she had learned how to transfer energy. And she learned how to tap into universal energy, right? So she uses this energy, and she charged her battery up so she could actually go home.
Very nice.
And I was like, yeah, since the ideal of showing us there are no limitations except when the world tells us. Like, for example, what I'm talking about the worldly energy is like the world says your battery contains so much information, so much energy within itself. And when you take it off, the only way you're ever going to get that energy back in there is get it jumped into the car or get another battery. Well, this lady here looked at a third option of the energy within herself that she had saw do some amazing, powerful things for other people, that she decided to use the energy for herself and charge her battery and drove home. She was astonished that she could actually do that. But at that moment, a perception that was in her mind, that what the world had planted in there, got derooted and cleared out. And in the process of letting another thought came in, it says, okay, since I did this, now what can I do? You see how it changes the whole thing? So each situation you have, or each situation you look at and say, okay, why would this person do this? Let the situation go. Person's just basically what the person is doing to you right now at that moment. If he's feeling any kind of insecurity, just shows an insecure person, and he's also showing you who he really is at that moment. So you have to make a decision. Do I interact or don't? Simple as that. If you don't, then you don't. Even the situation of looking at people in situations you don't want to go to, I don't want to go down into Colorado Springs, so I've actually found ways on the internet to actually have things sent to me. So instead of bitching about the idea of going down there and dealing with the situation, oh, I don't want to do that. I sit there and said, no, that's wasted energy, all the negative stuff. So I sit there and took the same energy and came up with a positive solution, which was the ideal of I could actually have everything sent to me. It also changed my perception of what I could actually buy, too. Because it seems like when I buy the big stuff, my perception changes on, okay, I got the $72 shoes, let's get the $14,000 car.
You know, you make me giggle.
Oh, too high.
Yes, you do.
You look at the situation. I'm not a walking contradiction. I'm actually a walking example of what I've done, and I keep doing it. Can we hear you?
Oh, okay.
Yes, we can still hear you.
I think you guys should take the next caller because you're really anxious.
Okay. Yeah, okay. Next caller. Oh, I got to click a button, don't I?
Oh,
okay, goodness. Next caller is 484. Welcome to the show. How are you? And you're on the air. What's your name?
I'm good. How are you?
How am I? I'm doing good.
Fun.
Well, say hello to Heather.
Hello.
For some reason, the person I'm talking to, she took next call. When I said her, was going to tell you her name, for some reason, I just went blank. What is she doing to me?
What, my name? I'm sorry. it's Beth.
Okay, Beth. I'm talking about the other lady I was talking to who said I should take this call. I cannot remember your name for some reason. I just went blank.
It's Anna.
Anna. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Sorry, Anna. Don't get mad at me. It's just that I have a tendency to introduce people like that. It's like a flood of energy goes through my head going, oh, shoot, I forgot. Huh?
What is your name?
My name is...
That's funny.
No, I was sitting going... all of a sudden, a freaking Eminem song popped in my head.
Do not make your name up. I know you as the angel card reader.
Okay. My name is Donnie.
Donnie?
Yeah, or Eminem.
Or Eminem. Did you say or Eminem?
No, I was saying, that's what I was saying. When she asked for my name, the first thing that popped in my head was an Eminem song.
Oh. Which one?
The one that says, what is my name? My name is...
Shady? Is that how the song goes?
Yes, that's Shady. What I was thinking. Yeah. I was like, whoa. Where'd that come from?
Are you dancing with his...
No,
what's up?
Realistic, it's one of those situations where I'm kind of on the threshold of that whole thing. I don't know if I like him or don't, so I don't listen to him really, really a lot, you know. It just happens if I'm on the radio. Okay, I'm good. So, okay, did you say your name was Becky?
Beth,
sorry. So where are you calling from, Beth? Hello, Beth.
Hello.
Are you still there?
Yeah, sorry.
That's okay. Where are you calling from?
Pennsylvania.
Oh. Anyway. I've been to Pennsylvania, okay? So I've had experiences. Which none I want to really go through again, but... But anyway, I met some nice people there, but we used to drive through there to go to Maryland because it was a shorter way to go to 68.
I've lived there before, too.
So, Beth, when's your birthday?
July 6th.
July 6th, which means you're a Cancer.
Mm-hmm.
So you have a question for us?
Any, I guess, messages of guidance maybe from any of my guides or something of that sort? I'm kind of... There's just so much going on at once that it's like, let me just make sure that I'm on the right path, and like, to where I'm going so that I know to just keep climbing forward, I suppose.
What the heck?
Makes sense? Sorry, I'm sleepy.
No, it's just I can hear
can't
somebody's
really sleep
plates
there,
being
so.
Rattled. I hear someone's plates. That kind of threw me off.
No, that's not me.
It's not me.
Okay. I think I'm just messing with plates. I don't think they're actually close to the mic, so what's the point of saying anything? Anyway. So you got a lot of stuff. So you have a lot of things going on right now, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you want to know if you got some messages from your guides and angels, and you sort of look at the situation. Realistically, the answers are, we always tell people flat out that you have angels and guides around you all the time communicating with you. It's the idea if you're willing to listen.
I try to.
Okay.
Honestly, I do. I try to meditate and you know, take care of myself and stuff
okay,
like
well,
that,
stop
but
trying.
I still just can't quite tap into that.
That's because you're working too hard on the situation, you know?
Yeah,
when I work with
I've
people,
heard that.
Like reading cards, I was reading people when they read cards and they do spiritual work and they start doing this stuff where they're working and try to make something happen. It's not when they actually stop and allow things to happen and realize it's the idea of accepting yourself, not the idea of creating something more within yourself. You're not creating anything. Things are all acceptance. It's like relationships, too. You don't create love. You discover it, which means the idea
that's
between
true.
Two people.
And I think they're there, but a lot of times when I try to meditate just to see if I can quiet my mind and just hear something or catch something in, I usually just fall asleep. I feel horrible saying that, but I mean...
No, it's not a horrible thing. It's the idea of realizing the state that you're putting yourself in is relaxing. What I would do with your situation, since you have a tendency to meditate and fall asleep, I would actually get a CD. I used to get these hypnotic CDs and stuff like that. Because we don't realize when we fall asleep, our mind is wide open to whatever happens. So if you have something that you can listen to, all that stuff actually goes within your brain. And then we have to teach you how to utilize in the ideal what's there, which usually tends to become through dreams and daydreams and stuff that we can't understand. Okay, like what's that all about? So, you know, those variations, but in the process of meditation is it's the idea of relaxing the body and the idea of hearing messages, not the idea of trying to hear messages. What you're trying to do is relax yourself enough to actually open to the communication. I mean, think about it. When you actually get on a telephone, on a house phone, let's go with the house phone, because usually most cell phones, you got to push a button. But with a telephone, you just pick the phone up and listen to the person on the other end. You don't sit there and try to do anything. Well, there are some people who kill themselves trying to get to the phone, but that's not what we're talking about. We're saying once you get to that phone, you pick that phone up, you don't do anything. Even with a cell phone, when you pick that cell phone up, you click a button. So therefore, what I'm talking about, like CDs and stuff like that, could be the click of the button on the cell phone. It's a catalyst to get you there, but those CDs, the reason I like them so much is the idea of relaxing you. They also have a tendency with the hemisync ones anyway, they have a tendency to hit you in a certain way that you relax, and then the tone actually helps both hemispheres to work together, which will give you intense focus and concentration. But if you notice the situation here, all you have to do is open yourself up to the situation, open to these things that are happening, and allow it. Not the idea of trying to make anything happen. And realistically, when it comes to manifestation, it's the same thing. When you manifest things, don't try to do anything. You know, put your intentions out, says what I want. That's what I do. I'm serious. This is exactly what I do. I walk in and go, okay, nothing's happening. My angels will come in and go, you have a major intentions today. So I'll say, okay. I pull my book out of all my affirmations and stuff. So, okay, I'll make a great intention. My intention is to make $400 today, to do 20 readings, 10 palm readings, 10 angel readings, 10 relationship readings. And I said, well, let's pump it up to 40. Then I'll sit there and add another 10 past life readings, okay? And now most people say, well, you didn't get those last life. See, the point of the intentions is to put it out there and then forget about it. Mm. And then what you accomplish is going from, which at that moment I made the intentions, I had zero. So whatever comes in afterwards is because of my intentions. If I didn't hit $400, it doesn't mean I won't. It's the idea of a goal and getting there in that kind of situation too as well. Jack Canfield said that too when he was in the idea of manifesting 100,000. Most people will get cynical because they say it doesn't work, not really looking at the situation that your perception changed, so therefore the outer world changed too as well. So he didn't make $100,000 that first time. He did make $93,000. So therefore, close enough. But after you accomplish
that. I've read a lot of this.
I'm just after you accomplish that, right? After you accomplish that, the next year he made over $1 million. Okay, but, you know, so he allowed his perception to continue to change with each one of those freaking situations and stuff like that, and then started telling himself, okay, we got close, we got the whole thing going on, so therefore, there's nothing I cannot do. It happens on different degrees, but it happens every time. That's what he's saying to you. It doesn't happen the way you want it to, but then again, it does. You're asking for an increase. You want to be in a situation where your perception changed. And realistically, in the process, you really look at it, and don't be cynical, 93,000, going from 8,000 a year to 93,000, definitely changed my perception of realizing, okay, what can I do? And that's what he did. So he stuck with the zeros and the one zeros, so like a computer thing, I don't know. But then I'm just saying that from that point on, it opens up your perception where not just that part changed. And his idea of saying, too, he doesn't put money as in the one thing he needs to accomplish his goals. The money was the thing that he knew he could attract it, so he started attracting everything else that goes with it. So therefore, whenever he needed money to buy those things, first and foremost, he attracted the opportunity, and then the money came. But he was also, a lot of people also do one thing, too. They try to caution, they give people caution and insight to the situation and say, this is the way it works. You have to have things in the works. Like the lady who sat there and said that she was behind on her rent. Instead of focusing on the idea of being behind, she actually sat down and wrote a check out to a charity and says, no, the universe is a prosperous and abundant, and that's what I know, that's what I see, so be it, so it is. And then the next following week, she gets a speaking engagement that seems out of the ordinary from a place that doesn't pay for public speakers, and actually paid her $1,500. Now, the point thing is, she was also a person who had taken into consideration and got herself in a situation where she had the knowledge. She was a public speaker. She was a life coach and the whole thing. So she already had these things in play. But she also realized what she can and cannot do. So she had those things there, too. So when the money came in, she was fulfilling her purpose, too, as well. At the same time, she was accomplishing and experiencing her life purpose. She also found a life partner, and she also found a life passion, which also attracted to her everything that she needed, even the money, to continue to do so. She just needed to cancel out that one disbelief, so therefore she could change that and see the situation for what it was, as a situation to prove to herself that she knew the universe is abundant, prosperous. So then with Jack Canfield, he had a book called Chicken Soup of the Soul, I think it's called. And then he sat there and he had that, wasn't selling, and so he changed his perception of seeing those books going, you know, flying off the bookshelves, focused away on getting an interview so people knew it was out there, and then the money came. See, he was living his life purpose. At the same time he was living his life purpose, you do the service, money always follows. Because, see, the reason I always tell people, too, is look at the situation. If you put money first, what follows money? Lack of limitation. Because you didn't do the work in the process of focusing on your life purpose, which attracts everything to you. So when you turn it around and put service first, money always gravitates to you because you're doing what you love to do. That's why you do the service and do a service you like. I mean, if you want to be a garbage man and that's your life purpose, you will attract everything you need too as well. I mean, we saw that one guy where it was like the guy had the house, had millions and millions and millions of dollars, but still lived in the same house. He didn't think, first and foremost, the guy didn't feel like he had to prove anything to anybody. He just lived his life in the process of focusing on goals and situations, that kind of stuff, and did everything he could. Followed every opportunity and accomplished and basically acquired a bunch of money as well. But I guarantee you, with that money that he acquired and the things that, and the way he was living, there was also, he acquired the information and knowledge that changed his perception that money wasn't the ideal, made him anything.
Mm-hmm.
He was already who he was. He knew that. So therefore it changes. I mean, I've seen people do the same thing. It's like, look at the success stories of people who only have an eighth grade education. It kind of counteracts the other people going, if you don't go to college, you suck. They might always say that, right? But they sit there and say those things.
Yeah, perspective counts for a lot.
I'm just saying, with a situation like that, you start believing in yourself, you can accomplish anything you want. And now it's your job to sit there and go, okay, what do I want? What do I need? What do I desire? One thing we saw with Dr. Wayne Dyer's book where he says, have your mind open to everything and attach to nothing, which means that you have faith in yourself, that you don't need to attach yourself because of a certain fear. You don't have it. You let it go in favor of who you really are. And I was starting to look at the situation real closely and what was going on. Almost all his books and stuff out there have exactly what you need. It's the idea of taking it and letting it resonate with your own life.
Yeah, I definitely do a lot of reading. I was just hoping maybe I'd have something more.
Mm-hmm. I'll just say, also it says in Dr. Wayne Dreyer's books, it also talks about the idea of how to manifest things. And it also talks about the love, okay? People are saying, well, what's my life purpose? He said, more likely it's something you're very passionate about and something you've always been drawn to. It was just your idea to take it one step further. And maybe the idea of having more self-worth to realize you can actually turn it into a business. I mean, a lot of people have problems with that. And the world sucks because the world always sits there and tells you what you can't do. I started doing this business. I'm doing this business, right? And I'm sitting there doing my little thing. And then somebody says, you can't make any money at that. Like, are you serious? Did we forget about, I don't know, Sylvia Brown, John Holland, you know, John Edwards, all these people are making, and there's other people out there too. I think it's Lisa Williams, and all these people. So when we start listening to the world sometimes will not allow us to see things that are there, to point out things to us. It is definitely possible. It's just the idea you have to believe that possibility within yourself and look at a situation a person is saying can't be done, taking that impossibility and turning it into reality, which is your life and the ideal of accomplishing anything and everything you want. I mean, when you sit here and look at people who manifest not having enough money for whatever or manifesting lousy relationships, those things can also be good examples to focus on myself and say, okay, you don't like that. You don't like what's going on, the whole situation. I would never do that. Well, it's not your job to tell her or him that they're really freaking screwed up. It's your idea of looking at the situation and making yourself the best person you can to actually use that as an example to go get what you want, need, and desire, and to actually always promise yourself you will never compromise because you have a perfect example right there. It shows you what happens when you do. Okay, and then you'll be a good example. And realistically, if you have a fantastic relationship, hopefully the person that was having the problems will see that within you and do the same thing for their own life. So you can see that we're constantly teaching people even when we're not even speaking.
Mm-hmm.
That's why it's so important to be true to yourself, be who you are, go out and do what you want to do and the idea of the kind of career and what you want to do with your life, the people you want to be with and that kind of stuff. Because it shows an example to somebody else who's not doing that. And they're crossing your path for that reason too as well. And when you have those kind of realizations, it also realizes the idea of how these things are happening is because of people love themselves. All the situations and opportunities they're attracting in their lives, they love it because it allows them to do what they love to do. So we sit there and look at the situation. Same thing with relationships. we attract people into our lives to face fears and the idea of having a fantastic loving relationship with this person that we want to love unconditionally by continuing to get to know them throughout our whole life. So, you know, people sit there and look at a situation like that, that should give you some enthusiasm, some excitement. That's what I want to go get. So if you didn't have it, shrug off all that freaking bullshit that you just acquired from all the things you went through that you thought were good for you. They're just showing you one thing. You didn't get it. But you learned a lot about yourself and the process, the whole thing. So now I guarantee you're probably in a situation right now where you will get exactly what you want, need, desire, because you've already established that through the things that you didn't want. So try to sit there and argue with that one. Anyway, yeah, I'm also looking at the situation. I do what I do. I sit here and tell people like this. You want to live my life? I have a situation where I'm living my life every freaking day and doing exactly what I want, enjoying every bit of it. But I actually have to force myself to take a day off. That's the difference.
Good difference, Pat.
So that's the idea of establishing and doing exactly what you want. The idea you enjoy every freaking thing about it. And the process of enjoying every little thing about it, you don't want to take a day off because you are doing what you want. Look at the people who are working jobs. They can't wait for the day off because they don't like where they're at. Okay, so what we're trying to tell everybody to do is the idea, if you don't like where you're at, you're not supposed to be there.
Mm-hmm.
So therefore, so your job is to go, okay, look at me. I'm doing exactly what I want. Look at the passion and the situation of how I come back to people. Because I'm experiencing something so fantastic, I want to share it with everybody so they can actually do the same. And I'm hoping they actually, I get kind of critical when they're in the chat, in the queue, and they all have a tendency to jump out of the room because of the impatience. We've seen this so many times I saw this movie called Serendipity, and you see the situation of two people say, well, okay, we're first supposed to be together. Let's get in these elevators, and the first button you push will be what you want, okay? You're following your intuition, and then you go to the top, to that room, to meet each other. What you'll see with certain situations of people doing is they walk into the freaking elevators. Both of them hit the same button, okay? One of them believes they're going to see the person at the top. The other one does too, but still has a little bit of doubt. So as he's going up the elevator, he creates all this chaos that works against him because he has that doubt. But the other person goes straight to the top. Now what happened in the situation is they both get there minutes apart, so they don't connect at that moment. But they both believed in it. It's the perceptions that they had that kind of prevented it from happening. But the one thing that happened with the situation is, after they sit there and went through a bunch of stuff, realized realizing they had met their match, they came to a point where they cleared out the clutter, they let go of some things they didn't need to let go of, and the process of actually allowing the universe finally to bring them together, which it was such a great emotional, happy reunion. And then from that point on, letting that happen, that whole thing, everything in both people's lives also became the same way as well. They started attracting things they really wanted because they finally let the universe do it for themselves. So it's off a chain reaction in a positive way. When you do the opposite, you get the opposite. But they decided they didn't want to do that. They wanted to, they said to themselves, okay, I know we can do this. And sometimes you got to sit there and tell yourself, I don't know how I'm going to do it. But at the same time, if you look on your past, you will see things that you've done intuitionally, maybe on a smaller scale, but they did happen. And you can also use those experiences to get the person you want to be with in the process of the situation. But I think a lot of people have a tendency to focus on the ideal, like, I've seen this too many freaking times. A woman will sit here and say, I would meet my soulmate with twin flame. But he has to have this kind of job. He has to do this. They just impose all these restrictions because subconsciously they don't think they're going to find it.
Mm.
And that's why I try to tell people, why don't you just sit there and go make your list out of who you want to be with, as in the description, the things that you can see. The only way you can ever see these things that you really want within another person, you cannot really determine what those are until you determine those things within yourself first. And then you can sit there and say, okay, I'd love to meet a person like this, because it'd be like me, it'd be a great relationship and that kind of stuff too. And with this kind of situation, I know I'm still discovering things about myself, and this person will be too, and we can do it together. Your career, your life, your experiences, everything should be on the same level as well, of the anticipation of discovery. not sitting and look at the situation and say, okay, a disappointment, I didn't get what I wanted. No, the universe is still giving you signs and saying, no, don't look at that. Don't look at the disappointment. You didn't get it. It's showing that you don't really want to go there. And we're trying to point you in the right direction so you can actually have exactly what you want. So listen up. Don't listen to the world say, well, I got to go down to the dating service. And you actually sit there and stomp your feet the whole way. I don't want to do this. What if I meet some dork? If you meet a dork, it means you're a dork. Like attracts like. So see, even that process is pointing out insecurities within yourself and doubt. But if you sit and look at the situation and say, okay, determine what you really want, situations, careers, and that kind of stuff, and say, I don't know how, I just know I'm going to have them, and I'm going to live every one of them. And you probably will. I wish I had a radio show, so I would sit here and go, and now let's go to a commercial break. Anyway, we won't. We're going to listen to you and talk to you and say, what do you think? Because I know from what I can hear with you and that kind of stuff, any kind of question you have, I know you can find a solution because you're a very strong, powerful woman.
Well, thank you.
Mm-hmm. So what you need to do is look at yourself and go, I'm going to stop saying I can't. I'm going to start telling myself, how are we going to make this happen? Because I'm ready to live it.
Mm-hmm.
You can call us back and tell us all about it. I'm serious, sweetie. I can sense that real good with you because you're looking for change.
Well,
change,
yeah, that's kind of what I'm in the middle of, so I just want to make sure that, like, I'm doing it right. But, like I said, it's kind of on that. I just like a little bit of reassurance that I'm definitely on the right path. You know what I'm saying?
You're on the right path. What I would recommend for you to do is contact me and take advantage of those 5 30-minute sessions for $100, and we can sit there and work with you. Because I think your situation will take more than this show, and I want to go to bed tonight. I'm just kidding. I'm just saying, with that kind of situation, that kind of stuff like that, the reason I like those things, I tell everybody, you're going to get 5 sessions for 30 minutes, 5 sessions for $100. But I know for a fact, each one of those 30-minute sessions, if you can handle it, it will go a little bit longer than 30 minutes. So I guarantee you'll get more than your money's worth on the whole thing. Plus, you got to look at it like this. You're looking for things to do to change your life. So once you look at it like this, every time you invest in anything, you're investing in yourself. I guarantee it.
Mm.
We can help you manifest so much in your life, and the idea of lack of limitations, you'll start forgetting about it. And you'll start realizing there is no limitations. Anytime you focus, I've had people do it before, well, your readings are too much. That means you have an insecurity about money. But you're thinking about, in the process of doing this, I got to give up this, or what am I going to lose? The whole thing. So the idea of these sessions is to teach you that when you start calculating things, you're feeding the lack of limitations, so you're working against yourself. So what you do is you take titles off of everything, and all you focus on is what you want, need, desire, and start accomplishing one thing at a time. Because a lot of things have a tendency to be, like if you focus on the idea of correcting your financial situation, that would actually open the door for a lot of other things that you have to learn how to change your perception to open it up more to realize that you deserve more. So you can actually accomplish the situation. I've had people say, well, you can buy this, but I won't have to give this up. And it's the idea of changing people and say, oh, you need to open that perception to realize you're expanding the picture, not knocking little pieces off of it to have something within the whole. That you can actually have the whole pizza, not to settle for one slice.
Mm-hmm.
I'm serious.
So are your sessions, they're more, I guess, teaching manifestation course than would be so much a reading?
Oh, yeah. Because what it is I have a tendency, I use cards in certain situations to point things out to you, but it's more about helping you, because you said you were talking about the idea of meditation. Meditation is a way of helping you to relax and get things within yourself calm. So we go through that. That itself, and the idea of teaching you how to, they're called chakra chantings and how to relax, can take 30 minutes in itself. So each session that you have, it could start off with, the first one could be a reading, so we know what we need to work on, and then the last 4 sessions would be working on those things. So you see how it works?
Yeah.
And we get really deep too, because when you think the shows are crazy, I also recommend for people to go back in the archives and listen to the shows too as well, because we really put everything we can into the situations, because we're giving you not just the information itself, but personal experiences that we've gone through, so we can actually back up what we're saying. I mean, right now I've got so much stuff going on that I'm actually excited of what else is, you know, the idea. Okay, what's happened today? Just do this. Okay, ooh, that happened. So tomorrow we get up, we, you know, it's like, I forget to brush your teeth. But we don't sit there and emphasize on that whole thing. We sit there and go, okay, well, you know, maybe I'm going to ask, maybe I can meditate and focus and get rid of that plaque, you know. Anyway, it's just, what's happening is every time you think of a missed opportunity, you're able to actually focus on a solution and realize, no, it was just giving you another challenge to come up with a solution no matter what you were put in. So it changes everything. So instead of saying, instead of feeding into lack of limitation, now you're like, okay, what can I do? How can I change this? How can I get the outcome that I want? Not the idea what I want to settle for.
Yeah, I've heard all of that.
Because we have people
with situations. I'm familiar with the techniques at least.
I'm just saying, but most people, they tell you the techniques, but see, we go deeper than the techniques. We actually experience those things with you as well, because I'll sit here and tell you some things I've gone through and tell you how I did it. A lot of people will sit here and give you information on some things, and they'll go a little bit deeper on the whole thing. But it seems like some people are kind of scared to give you the complete story because they still have a little bit of lack of limitation within themselves they still need to work on. And right now it's one of the things I've been so gung-ho on things. It's the ideal emphasizing more on relationships because everybody keeps thinking, I got everything going great right now, but I just can't get that relationship to work right. They don't realize the energy that you use to actually manifest everything else, same energy you use to manifest a relationship. It's allowing. Because if you look at everything you've ever accomplished that was so smooth, it's because somewhere along the line you just gave up in the situation of saying, okay, whatever. Whatever happens is great. And then things aren't happening really quickly. It was somewhere along the line, maybe something didn't happen quite the way you wanted to, so you had interpreted it as in something you did wrong. Not realizing it could have been just simply saying, you really don't want to go down there. Because we've seen people do this. We've seen people in relationships that make decisions and go into certain situations that we saw happening, maybe even told them, but they still thought they still had to do it. So, you know, so that's one thing that's one thing about teaching people, too, to realize sometimes the lesson is simply telling you not to go there, not to live it, and how we're going to get through it. And also to tell you one thing, too, look at your past. We've had situations, I've had this before. I don't know if I can get through this. If I can't, I mean, this thing is just so terrible, I don't think I'm ever going to get through it. Okay, I want you to go back and look at another situation. You said the exact same things and realize you did. And then look at yourself and going, that was kind of stupid, wasn't it? To realize you're only building your own freaking dam where you can't go forward. And building these walls and say, okay, I want to smack off this sucker. I don't want to be successful. And it'd be amazing. I mean, people are scared to death of being successful. Because if they're successful, they're going to have to give up everything they're familiar with. They don't realize the process of actually focusing on what you really want is letting go of the old to allow the new to come in, because the old still occupies the space. You clear out that space, you're going to start seeing things come in quickly. And you also listen to your gut. You have to listen to your intuition, your guidance. What's not? See, the reason is sometimes it doesn't make any sense because it actually goes against what we're already familiar with. On that note, we should realize, hey, okay, I don't recognize this. I'm not really sure what this means because I've asked for something new. So I guess it's something I should put down my resistance and just allow it to happen.
That's true.
I'm sorry, guys. I need to take a deep breath for a minute.
That's good.
So, is there any other questions?
I don't know. I guess that was pretty much the most basic one. I mean, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Just be nice if I could actually, like, get that guidance. But I guess I just got to keep going with what I already do, so. But thank you.
The one thing I can tell you is the idea of the meditations makes them as simple as possible. The simplest one I ever did was the most simplest one I ever did and the most powerful one I ever did was just simply focusing on a space behind my heart, bowing, seeing it as a flame of my essence, connecting to God, right? And I focused on that, and then I would just sit there and say to myself, I would breathe in, as I exhaled, I would say, I am love. And I would just sit there and say that, I am love, I am love. And as I was saying this, I allowed myself to go within myself. And with each breath and each time I said it, I would see how far I could go within myself. I always caution people in that one because you're tapping into your spirit. You're tapping into the connection to God. You're tapping into pure love. So it will be overwhelming. But it will definitely show you, too, in the process.
What if you can already do that, though? And you still don't hear any guidance?
Then more likely you're on the right path.
Okay.
You don't need any more. It's just the idea you realize if you're not hearing anything, there's a situation of hearing guidance and doing it. And there's another time.
Well, I mean,
you don't
there's
hear,
always
just be who you are.
It's not like I'm closed off to different forms of guidance. You know, like I understand. I always hear that like a lot of times your guide operates in you know really subtle ways here and there. But I don't know.
I just get the impression
sometimes
you're on
like
the right
when
path.
When you try
and
you need to reach for a deeper connection, it'd just be nice if once in a while. You can get a little bit of that validation that you're like, oh, okay, yes, okay, definitely good.
Well,
you know, despite, like, all the obstacles that are there, you know, the obstacles aren't there to say, no, hold off. They're there to say, you know, conquer me. You know what I mean? There's always questions and variables in life, so.
Well, I'm
just
saying,
to get a little bit of higher up guidance on that.
I'm just saying, with your situation, I would just sit there and go with the feeling, not looking for validation. Don't sit there and listen for a situation that needs to be resolved. Just the idea of focusing on raising your vibration. As you raise your vibration, you start seeing things more clearly because you're raising yourself up to the level of the guidance that you want to come through on a regular basis. So you can do certain things, but look at the situation, what life is all about. Spirituality is a lifetime commitment.
You have
many levels to go. So just stop trying to look for the validation. That's the thing that comes to me the most. It's just listen. You just feel what's going on at the time. It's a sign that your vibration is rising, and just allow that to happen. Because I feel like if you don't hear guidance, there's nothing to do except what you're already doing. If you were doing it wrong, I just feel like you would have a very strong prompting coming through saying, "Let's start all over again."
Okay.
But I think you're on the right path. You just don't realize how much. You have to stay on this level before you get to go to the next one. Feel.
So in other words, you're being, honey. Just be.
Just be who you are. Accept who you are. Don't tell them. People think the spirituality is to find oneself. No, it's the ideal. Realizing and accepting yourself for who you are right this moment. Once you accept that, then it's easier to go to the next levels of changing if you feel like you need to do that. But you have to accept
Absolutely.
Who you are right now.
Yeah, I don't think I have a problem with that one either, but
okay.
I mean, there, at the same time as I say that, like, I know there's always things, you know, that we do need to work on in ourselves, you know, but having that self-recognition alone, you know, kind of says something there, too.
Oh, yeah.
But thank you for everything.
Oh, you're welcome. And keep in touch and tell us how things are going and stuff.
Will do. You guys have a good night.
You too. Thank you.
Good night.
And you. Bye bye. Okay, let's go on to another caller real quick. Cause I love when this thing just spin. All right, just go watch the little snake wrap itself around each other. Okay, area code. Okay, area code 52. Oh shit! Shoot! Chuck and darn. Okay, area code 502. You're on the air. Welcome. What's your name and where are you from?
My name's Donna. I'm Kentucky.
Your name is Donna?
Uh-huh.
I need to call my daughter. It's like the third time I've heard that name.
Hey, is your daughter's name Donna?
Yeah, her name is Donna Marie.
Oh, awesome.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, she is awesome. If I could get her to see that, it'd be great.
Yeah,
kind of
sometimes it's hard for us to see that.
Well, that's one of those things that people don't. That's like one that I keep talking to all the time. Like, do you think you need to have a man in your life to validate who you are? That's why you're having such a hard time, because you don't need to. You are who you are. And my daughters are the worst. It's kind of funny. It's so close to home and going, come on. But I actually want to write a book, because my oldest daughter is very gifted, too, in the idea of what I do. And to sit here and talk to her, she'd be a great therapist and a great counselor, and she can really do this great stuff. I don't think she'd ever have to use cards. I think it's her fear. But she just feels good, you know? So I want to write a book called Superman and the Offspring That Refused to Fly. That would be a great book. You know? But she refuses. It's like this. People have a tendency to put themselves in a situation. Got to go to school. Got to go to college. Got the whole thing. Not realizing life itself is a school that will teach you, if you open yourself up to it, can teach you anything and everything that you need to do. And the idea of schools and colleges, bullshit. I'm sick of hearing the freaking things that if you don't do this, you know, you want to change your life, go to college. Oh, yeah, I want to go to college and smoke pot and drink beer. Changed my life. but, you know, that's the thing. I've actually talked to college students that was their anticipation. Can't wait to go to college. I said, really? Like the classes and schools and the teachers? Oh, no, party, you know. So kind of crazy in a situation, perceptions, I'm telling you. So, Donna, how can we help you tonight? Sorry.
Actually, I just got accepted to a master's program.
Oh, there we go. Now we know why we're talking about
school. But I have to do it, you know, I have to do that as far as, you know, for work thing. So, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But that's okay. I'm just excited I got accepted, you know, so I can continue.
Well, that's true. No, there's nothing wrong with being excited about getting accepted at certain things. I just have a tendency to tease people and say, okay, you got caught up in the whole thing of what you think you need to do to keep a certain job and a certain career, but you haven't asked yourself, do I really want to do that?
Right.
So, you know, when you accomplish things, that's great. And I think if you've got to this far and the idea of being accepted in the first place, it's definitely a sign that this is the path that you've chosen, and it seems like that you're actually attracting the things you need to do. So.
Right. And so I've had some good things come through, which is a blessing in itself, because for a long time I didn't have those things coming through, and it's been a long struggle for about years.
And that one thing I'm talking about, the ideal, you know nothing, but realistically you know everything. It's just the ideal of knowing how to listen to yourself.
Right.
Keep
and
your mind
so,
open.
Yeah, I've been keeping my mind open. I've been working on myself. I've been working on so many different things, and I'm starting to see a few breakthroughs and
mm-hmm.
some clarity in some situations that were a little it was things that you didn't really, that I couldn't really, I didn't know about that bothered
mm-hmm.
me, because things had happened and I didn't know why, and so I've received some clarity there, which is good, mm-hmm. because then I can, it's like then I can finally close the door on that, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So that I just have one more situation I'm still working on, and so, but I keep getting this message not to let go of it. You know, don't let go. Just keep pressing forward. And the message I'm getting is wake.
Mm-hmm.
You know, wait. Just keep pressing forward. Just keep believing and keep waiting and. And it's going to work out. But it's been a long time coming, so.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not the most patient person in the world, and I'm wondering if that's what, you know, I'm being taught, is patience.
Well, see, how you're looking at
patience
itself. I'm just saying with the situation, too, to have more patience in the situation is to realize if you actually take the notion and focus on living your life, the reason you're impatient is because if you're waiting, that's idle time. If you're not idled and you're living your life, you don't have time to be stressed or impatient.
Right, and I've become more patient to the point where people are like, I don't know how you're doing it. You know?
Why don't you just watch
me?
You will.
You what?
Mm-hmm. It's
What'd
like they
say?
Need to watch you, and they will know. Because you're doing
and
it.
And I said, Well, and that's what I told him. I said, you know, apparently, well, I said, I keep getting this message to wait. I keep getting this message to be trusting and to wait and do what I'm supposed to, you know, and just keep going on with the other things and concentrate on those. And, you know, ask, you know what they say, ask, believe, receive.
Oh, yeah.
And
in the process of asking, receiving, also realize one thing. He probably gave something out there, too, as well. That's what I'm saying, the ideal action, and giving, and the ideal living. Your friends are sitting there saying, I don't know how you do it. I would sit there and stop one time, just one time, and tell them, could you just, like, stop saying that and say, maybe I should watch you and watch how you do it. Because realistically, it's amazing how people have a tendency they can't change their negative ways. They keep reinforcing things. Or I've seen people do this with relationships where they'll keep reinforcing things and pushing people together. And all they do is cause a ripple on the whole situation. It causes a negative outcome because they just want to control it. Even when people are forcing two people together, it's a fear that it won't happen, so they feel like they have to do it. But it's also a fear probably came from somewhere in their own lives.
Right.
But they had a situation where it didn't work out and they felt like someone should have pushed them. So I'm just saying with the situations or certain things that are going on, when people start saying negative things, you have a lot of things that are going on where you can actually give them a positive reinforcement that they'll stop doing that, hopefully. But they should watch it if they don't know. How do you do it? Well, watch me. I'm doing it. So therefore, you can do it too. We're all examples to others in the process of actually going after what we want. So that, what was it? Someone said that. So we are our brother's keepers, but not in the way we think. That is a responsibility to actually focus on our own lives and the idea of what we want, need, desire, and actually go after the life we've always wanted because it was set an example for someone else to do the same thing. And we have a lot of people around us who probably need that kind of kick in the butt, but not literally physically, but a reality check of seeing us do what we're doing. Hopefully they will see it. But you know what? Give the information, say the words. If it doesn't happen, it's just because their perception will allow it. So it's all you can do.
Right.
So I would sit here and say with you, the more you're grateful, the more you're focused on living your life, first and foremost, the more successful you'll become, the more you accomplish these things, the more you start focusing in that direction, things will start happening at a more rapid pace. So you'll set an example for everybody else, and you won't have time to allow yourself to focus on the lack of limitations, so therefore you won't get impatient and frustrated. What's the two things that actually keeps people from actually accomplishing their goals in the first place? And we just basically just learn how to neutralize that stress, to realize that when we focus on the wrong things, we're creating that stress ourselves. How's that working for you there?
Good. I'm just impatient. I'm trying to wait, and I'm calm most of the time. And I think that the negativity that I receive from other people, because I am waiting and doing these things and being calm and patient, is...
Well, the hardest part about these situations, too, when they start saying you need to clear the clutter, it doesn't mean like you're still focusing on past experiences and situations, too. It's like things are being presented to you on who needs to go to as well. If you have people in your life who keep reinforcing the negative and all the possibilities of things that could happen in a negative way, there are also people that you need to ask them to either stop it. If they continue not to stop it, they're being disrespectful to what you're trying to accomplish.
Right.
So you have to let them go. You have to clear them out of your life. If you want to, you can tell them. Nothing wrong with being verbal. Say, hey, this is what I got to do. Since you can't be positive and you can't focus on all the good things, I don't need someone to reinforce the negatives because I've actually focused on changing my life around in a positive way. Those negative things will never happen. They won't. It's the truth. We like attracts like. The more positive you are, the less likelihood of attracting a bad situation. I've been in situations where I knew a person was not on the up and up, but for some reason they didn't rip me off. They ripped everybody else off, but they didn't rip me off. I think it was because of the faith I had within myself to put a fear in them, because realistically, people who try to do bad things to you anyway, who are people who are talking about the negative, they're also focusing on negative energy, negative things, like a person who wants to take something from you or steal from you. It's because they have a fear within themselves that says, I have to do this because I'm just not worthy of getting it on my own. So what you are is a person who is very worthy and focusing on what you want. It scares them to realizing that you would probably see them for who they are. So you don't attract these people. What happens, you'll start clearing people out of your life, and then you'll start attracting positive people. But you also look at those people, too, when they sit here and say, well, you're not being a good friend. Yes, I am. I'm sending you on your way. So maybe you'll come to a realization so we can actually meet on a positive note in the future. If not, then I guess you just can't learn. So therefore, I have learned. So therefore, you're being disrespectful to me, what I'm accomplishing here in the process of you not going out and doing what you really want to do with your life, that you want to knock me down because you can't find the backbone to go find your own life.
Mm-hmm.
So therefore, I want to share my life with people. If people are being negative like that, you're not sharing with them in the sense of being on the same page. They're taking. So you can only help people so much. You're giving them all the information they ever needed to actually change their own lives, and they're refusing to look at it. Like I said before, people will sit there and say, well, you're being mean. No, actually, I'm being very nice to you because I love you and care about you, that I'm pushing you out there so you'll realize what you're doing to your own life, you're doing to others. And I'm trying to help you out in the idea of being a more positive person so you can actually be a positive person to others. Right now, you're not being good. Because here you are, in some sense of the word, telling me all the things that could happen. I still sense a sense of jealousy here that you want to knock me down. It's true and not true. You can't. I mean, most people, when you sit there and tell them those things, they can't honestly tell you at that moment. They need to take what you just told them, let it resonate with them. That's why you need to send them on their way. When you separate that, whole thing, you stop being an enabler. And you've actually put that person out there on their own so they can take what you just said, let it resonate with them. But if you keep them in your life and basically keep, make excuses for them, they'll never come to the realization. It's always when people lose things or they have the illusion that they lost you, is when they come to the realization that they need to change their own lives. But you were still, because of the positive person you was, created this whole situation with that person. And hopefully they'll be back a part of your life. Because like we said before, like attracts like. And those situations have a tendency to create negative situations where you probably end up not liking each other anyway because they refuse to change themselves. And you get tired of people trying to pull you down. Your job is not to pull them up. It's your job to, when they give you a hand, to help them up. But you can assist them, but not do it for them. Okay?
Yeah. That's what I found. I said one situation has come to pass, and it was all over. I divorced my ex-husband 5 years ago, and he would quit paying child support because he was contractor, so. He would pretend that he had lost his job, which he really didn't lose his job. He was a contract worker, you know what I mean? And so then he would go to court, and then he would ask to reduce his child support, or I only get this much and I'm on unemployment, you know what I'm saying? So after 5 years of going back and forth and back and forth, and then them cutting the child support down to nothing because they were going by his income, they finally decided that no, this is his normal job is to be a contractor, and he needs a budget for when he doesn't have employment.
Mm-hmm.
And because so they finally looked at the overall and said, hey, no. So
but you should use a situation like that too as a catalyst to become better. I've worked with a lot of women to actually say, okay, you want to sit here and deal with the situation on a better scale. What you need to do is take him out of the situation altogether. And they go, well, he deserves, he needs to pay child support. I said, and what I'm saying to you is he's also using that because he feels like he's controlling your life, which is what he's doing. So what you do is you sit there and get yourself in a financial situation where you don't care if he gives you child support or not because you've just taken your power back. lot of power, a lot of energy is being pulled into the situation. It's like I said before, you're just taking, at that moment, you're just taking 100% accountability for your life. Not the idea of his actions or lack of action, but it doesn't.
Right.
But it also takes. It also puts you in a situation where you don't need that because you've covered yourself. You're taking care of all the variables and that kind of stuff, so you don't need him. And hopefully, he'll snap out of it and realize because you take it away, he has no control over anything that happens in the situation. And when you look at a situation like that, why would someone do that? It just shows a person in a negative, dramatic way who's feeding into freaking illusions and fear. And he wants you to sit there, and he's playing the victim. So it reflects back at you in some sense, the word playing the victim role too. I need that. So when you walk away and say, no, I'm a stronger person than that. I can take care of my kids, my life, and everything on my own. And more likely you'll see a situation where a person will be coming to you wanting to pay it because he wants that control over you. It's kind of a crazy situation, but I'm just saying that's how the world is. So if you want to feed into the world's your dramatic, crazy, mixed up, nutty place. And when you start really focusing on changing yourself and the idea of working on spirituality, you start realizing that the crazy people, the people that cause the chaos and that kind of stuff, start falling off one at a time. And I'm not saying he's not responsible for what he's supposed to do, but also at the same time, I'm just saying, I did the same thing too. You know, I had a situation with an ex-wife where I was actually giving her money and paying child support. I didn't have to. I had a court order that said I didn't have to, but I did. It wasn't until the point where I was actually abused that it was taken away and done in a different way. Was my kids not being taken care of? No. It just went through a different cycle. It went through my mother instead of going through her. So therefore, it was always a record and the whole thing was going on. But it was the idea of finding a solution and taking back that power that she was trying to take because she wanted to keep that open all the time, that craziness, because of the attention she's looking for. I mean, look at your ex-husband. He's basically saying, look at me, I'm a victim. And finally, some people started saying, okay, they started looking at it realistically.
Right.
So, yeah. And I think it's because of the problem too.
After 5 years of hanging in there and doing what I'm supposed to be doing, and doing the best I can, they finally said, hey, no, you need to change it. And so they finally ruled in my favor after 5 years. And so, you know, I'm seeing some breakthroughs here, which I'm glad.
You changed your perception, right? You changed your perception on this?
I just said, you know, they'll eventually, if I do what I'm supposed to be doing and I'm going above and beyond and just continuing on with my life and doing and not, you know, throwing a fit and trying to cause problems and just take care of it myself, eventually they're going to see. There'd be a pattern and they're going to see. You give a person enough rope and they'll hang themselves if they're not honest. You know what I mean? All I could do is do what I was supposed to be doing and pray about it, right? So that's what I did.
Mm-hmm.
Well, finally, because everybody's like, you need to do this, and you know, and it was all negative, and I was like, they'll see. And just somebody said last time, they said, when this happened, he said, well, can you forgive some of the back support because, you know, and so I gave him, you know, a few $100 to pay me this much of it, but this was the last time. And while the court saw that, I've been bending over backwards to, you know, to work it out. And finally it went in my favor. But everybody was like, I can't believe you let him get out of paying, you know, several $100 and you could use it. And you know what I'm saying? And I'm like, it'll turn around and I will... You know, that some people like to call it karma, and some people like to say that God is a vindicator. I think it's the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
But you know what I'm saying? It's just named differently. But I think eventually things will turn out in your good. If you're doing what you're supposed to be doing, I think it'll turn out in your favor.
Mm-hmm. Last thing, that's what I'm saying, just having the belief in yourself that whatever you put out there will go your way.
Yes. So they didn't believe in that, but I'm thinking, you know, I've heard so much. I've heard some negatives, and I just have to keep doing. But I just keep getting this feeling that, you know, if even in my sleep, I keep hearing, you know, just be patient and wait, and it's going to work out for the good, and you know, that's what I keep hearing. And I keep thinking, if I can be at peace with it, you know, the only time I ever get out of peace is when somebody's coming at me with something negative, and then I'm thinking, you know, it can't be coming from God if it's negative, because He doesn't cause you stress.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it is. I think it's just, you know, I think it's trying to get me to, you know, people are trying to get me to give up. And I just can't give up because I keep hearing this voice inside my head that keeps saying, don't give up.
Right.
Don't keep waiting. And if you're patient, it'll come to you. If you're patient and you believe, it'll come to you. So.
That's true.
That's where I am. I just hoping I'm right. I feel like
mm-hmm.
him in my heart, so.
Well, it's one of those situations, like you said before, you know, when you start seeing things fall into place, it definitely means you're on the right path, so it's one thing I wouldn't worry about.
Okay. Well.
So just take a deep breath and realize you're going in the right direction, and just, like I said before, like all manifestations, just the idea will keep yourself in that state of allowing, with all your resistance
mm-hmm.
down, or whatever is happening, that kind of thing. That's all I'm saying, the idea. When you take people off the idea of the focus of him and what he's not doing, it's because at that moment you're not focusing on what you can do and how you really want it to happen. And then things change, like you just saw your situation, very positive.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the situation that I'm waiting on is a relationship, so.
Mm-hmm. Well, you got to look at the situation like this too, as well, you know? You got to look at things like they are. Why can't You got to look at things the way they are. So the
mm-hmm.
idea of certain things that have to play themselves out and the things you need to let go of. I feel like there's some negative friends, situations, and also looking at your husband as saying, this might sound crazy in some sense for it, but looking at him as a person that could be who is a fantastic person who just has a tendency to feed into his fears. And then when you come to a realization on that whole thing, you don't allow yourself to feed into the fears. And realizing that's why it did what it did, because it's like the idea of favoring things out. You have a certain realization, a spiritual part about yourself that took you out of the equation. So now is the ideal severing everything else that goes along with it to the point, you know, when it goes on. Just to turn and say, okay, I need to clear out all this stuff in favor of focusing on just me. Because every little infraction that we focus on is taking time away from ourselves. And what we can do, that's what we always say, is take a step back, look at the situation, go, okay, you don't like it. You don't need to voice it, because if you keep voicing it, it's going to keep repeating itself. So you step back and look at the situation and say, I don't like this. And then you are able to take that space and ask yourself, okay, what would I like? Or how would I like to see this play itself out? And then you do. You have a situation. You don't focus on being lonely. You don't focus on the lack of, because I've seen a lot of people do this with relationships, the idea of focusing on something they don't have and the idea of focusing on the lack. That's why they don't have it, because they're focusing on the energy of lack. So you start focusing on the ideal of seeing yourself in a situation like that. It changes everything.
Right. And I mean he's deployed, and so he asked me to wait, and I've been waiting. It's just been a long time since he's been able to come home, and so I'm like, sorry, but I believe that, you know, it's gonna work
mm-hmm.
its way out, it's gonna work itself out. And you know, and everybody else is like, oh, it's been too long, so you just need to move on. And I'm like, no, can't move on.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm like, you know, I think that part of it is that everybody wants immediate gratification. And if it's not happening immediately, then you got to give up and move on to something else. And I don't think that, you know, There are reasons for me to believe not to move on.
and just mm-hmm. keep on going the way I am. And I just want to know. I guess there are times when you know that you know. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm still trying to stay positive as possible and concentrating on everything else that I need to do here to have everything ready for when it does happen. So
there you go.
And stay positive and happy while I'm waiting.
Yes, that's exactly right. That's what I would do. It's like you got everything in place now. It's just the idea of keeping yourself in that state of mind, like I said before, and just clearing the whole thing out.
Right.
What I mean by that is the idea as you go through the situation of allowing something to happen. With each fear that comes to the surface, you need to look at it, honor it, realize why you have that fear, which makes it easier to go. You come to a realization going, that sucks.
Right.
You know, why would I do that? And you start realizing the reason you're doing that is because you're looking at the situation a different way.
Mm-hmm.
You're feeding into the fear instead of seeing things for what they are. That's what I'm saying.
Right. And if you feed into fear, then, you know, what good does that do? Usually you don't, once you feed into that fear, then you pull back and then you don't ever get what you're supposed to have.
Mm-hmm.
I believe that people give up on their dreams because, you know, you have a dream that's put in your heart. And if it's put in your heart, then it's strong enough, I believe that you can, you know, it will come to pass or wouldn't be put there to begin with.
Oh, yeah, that's what I'm saying, too. I think too, when the fear comes to the surface, it's the idea of letting go of that in favor of, I already know what's going to happen. I know beyond the shadow of a doubt.
Right, and if you can't, you've got to figure out, okay, where is this fear coming from? Where is this fear coming from? And let's address that and get rid of this so I can be at peace while I'm waiting for my dream to come to pass, because I think a lot of people don't get what they're dreaming of because they become afraid and then they give up.
Mm-hmm.
Or impatient. They become impatient or afraid and then they give up. And if
That's what I was saying about the idea when I watched the movie Serendipity. You should watch the movie Serendipity when you can to realize at the end, which is like the world, the universe brought them everything they needed without even trying. They just put it out there and it came back full circle and pointed things out that was meant to happen. And there were some things in the movie that I thought was kind of incredible because the first part of the movie, you see that they pushed the same button. She got there before he did, but still she was impatient. You know, if she would have waited, and it's kind of funny when you see the movie too, where if she would have waited 2 minutes more, everything would have came together then, which we would have had a movie. But when you look at the situation, it's a definite, the movie itself, if you watch it and watch how things cross paths, that's how it does happen.
Uh-huh.
So it gives you insights to the situation, like with you, as I'm saying. It's like taking a look at the situation, watch the movie when you're in fear, just to give you that kind of like reassurance that, okay, I am doing the right thing by just letting go. And we could sit here and say you're waiting and you should wait, but I think we should take a little bit further than that, say, no, you just know that you shouldn't give up on the situation, that it's going to come together. So the thing you're waiting for to happen, it's not something you have to focus on because it's a done deal. What you need to do is focus on your life, and don't be surprised if it doesn't happen faster because you just let go completely because you have that faith that it's going to happen anyway. Because I've had people do that. I don't care if this happens or doesn't happen because I know it is.
Right.
So be it, so it is, and just walks off, and that's the last they ever say of it. And then you'll hear 6 months later, well, we're thinking, you should be focused on this. You should be centered on it. You should do this. And she didn't. She put the intentions, say, she put the intentions out. The intentions came, this passed. Maybe it was 6 months later, but see, she sat there and looked at the situation, looked, and she lived her life, right? She's accomplishing her goals and the things she needs to do to put herself in a really good frame of mind when the person came back. And we even look at it like this. He didn't come back. He never really left. Something that was already, something that continued on. It's just that he took a leave of absence and he come back to actually continue on with you. So the whole thing changes, but it didn't change at all. It's just the idea you're the way you look at things. But when you really look at the situation, it's like it's incredible that the universe will definitely give us exactly what we want if we're willing to just relinquish the reins to them, because we've have to face the intentions that we put out there. You know, seriously, look at the situation. You don't mail a letter 3,000 times before it actually gets there. You mail it once, and you don't even think about it. You just put it out there and mail the letter. Next thing you know, you get a confirmation from the other person that got it, but you didn't sit there and, well, some people do, don't get me wrong, but I'm saying on the, a positive, this is a positive analogy, okay, that you just put it in the mailbox, it went where it was supposed to go, you knew it, you didn't think about it. That's how you manifest things in your life. You don't think about it. You don't wait for it. You're not going to wait for someone to go, hello. But even the idea of waiting has a tendency to create almost like the universe can't handle the energy that you're putting into it because they want to do it themselves. Because you've already put the intentions out. So it kind of drags it, kind of slows it down. And all of a sudden you just go, okay, take your hands, you open them up. I've actually told people to do that too. Sit down, cross your legs, put your hands in front of you, put your arms straight out in front of you with your palms together, and as you're opening them up, just say to yourself, I'm open to receive now. And then watch what happens. Maybe it won't be a situation where the person is there, but you might actually get more confirmation that it's coming really close to the point where next you know you'll be living it, and then you'll say, oh, shoot, this is actually happening right now. Mm-hmm. And it actually happened 2 weeks before I thought it would. That's how the universe works. Like when I asked for, if I ask for 2,000, I usually get 2,000 in excess every time. So that tells you that's definitely guidance in the universe saying, here you go.
Just to take that one step, when you were talking about the letter, when you put it in the mail, have you ever put something in the mail? Like I did this, some crazy thing, and all I had to do was answer like 3 questions and throw it back in the mail. I didn't even have to put it in an envelope or anything. It just was already stamped and everything, just answered 3 questions. And it said, you'll get something. Well, I forgot all about it. About, 2 months later, I was like, I got ready to tear up the envelope and not even open it up because I thought it was junk mail. And I opened it up, and as a thank you, they wrote me a letter as a thank you for answering those questions. They sent me $6 in the mail. So I wasn't even expecting it, but the thing is that I put it out there, and then it came back, as a positive thing. And
there you go.
But when you were talking about it, I remember I was like, oh, yeah, I put that thing in the mail that one time when you were sending that, when you were talking about how things will come back. And as far as him coming back, it's crazy, but I can see him, we are so connected that I can see him in my mind, like when he wakes up and gets a cup of coffee or, sometimes when he's, it's like I can see him in my mind. He's deployed, but I can see him. I can see his uniform. I can see where he is. And, we're just that connected.
Right.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, that makes perfect sense. Yeah, I know, I understand what you're saying.
Yeah, so we're that connected. So,
it's one of those things, just trust it. You'll be amazed what's going to happen here in the future. So, Hello.
Well, I'm getting ready to go to bed because I have to be up in 4 hours.
No problem. I think I got to do something too. Anyway, no problem.
Thank
you have
you.
A good night. It was really nice talking to you, and you're welcome.
All right.
That was great. Keep in touch and tell us how things are going. If you ever want to get a session, just don't hesitate to call, and be glad to help you out, okay?
Okay, sounds good.
You have a good night.
You too, thanks.
Mm-hmm. Bye-bye now.
Bye-bye.
Alrighty. Let's see. Heather, are you still there?
Really? Hi.
Let me ask you a question. Did you just text me?
Yes, I text you. Because I did text you. Yes, I text you because I get to have my beauty sleep, honey.
No problem. As I was saying, you're still there because we're about ready to go. I'm just getting ready to sign off and stuff. So we don't have any more callers. So we're good to go. So therefore, I'll probably see you tomorrow.
Well, I get to have some sleep and jump up in the morning and accomplish a whole bunch of things before I head off outside into the crazy outdoors.
I hear you.
All right. Well, tomorrow is a new day.
Well, thanks for being here, and we're going to thank everybody else for being here, all the callers, all the people that are listening and that kind of thing. And as always, may God and the angels bless you every minute of every day and give love where love is given. And if you want to give me a call for a private reading, please do so at 740-500-8863 or contact me through my website. It's www.psychicxjourneyman.com. And we'll talk to you then. We'll see you all tomorrow, 8 p.m. Mountain Time. See you guys then. Have a good one. Bye. Bye, Heather.
Bye.
Bye.